please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
Come on, boiler room.
Yeah, we're fucked up. Oh, the wrong door.
Yeah, somehow the apes are back.
Honk, 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 honk.
I have a month's worth of beans.
Makes me want to ride an escalator at a mall.
All we ever do is mention things.
Right out of the box, I'm having fun.
Mad at a room.
Live, on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
There we go. Thank you so much, Matt Belknap, and a pre-recorded role from our time there up in San Francisco. But once this is edited all together, the people that are not listening to live stream won't know what I'm talking about. So drop it. Drop it like it's hot. You in the back, drop it. Drop it like it's hot.
Holy shit.
Oh, I got a little stain on my pants. These are brand new pants. All right, welcome to the program. I look down at my knee and I see my I got a brand new pair of Mack Weldon gray, and there's a little somehow I got a stain on them in the drive-in. That's not true. I changed my oil. All right, I forgot. I have an electric car and I still went out there with a dipstick, and my dipstick. I mean my son. So that's fun, right? Hey, welcome into the program, episode 35 N. N is for the northern way you love me. We welcome you in on a Wednesday here, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving is when we're recording this. Traffic was fairly light on the drive-in, but we'll be awful on the way home, according to an LA Times article about. But don't be fooled; it is not the Carmageddon that that the myth has built, or something. I forget what the headline was, and I didn't care. I was like, I'm going to be driving on it anyway. That doesn't affect. I don't care what your stats are. It doesn't affect my life. I'm either going to be on it or I'm not going to be on it. Right? Listen or don't listen. Right? I say the same thing in the LA Times. Read it or don't read it. Right? I'm not going to read it anymore. That fucking guy pulled the rug out from the Kamala endorsement.
Some would say it wouldn't have helped anyway.
Those people are assholes. For those that are not watching the video, that was me doing both voices.
One thing I know about Trump voters is they really follow newspaper article endorsements. That's like the most important.
Wait, honey, the paper says we shouldn't go with him. But honey, but aren't we racists and bigots? Yes, but the paper says we shouldn't
be. We've read this paper for 40 years, and it's never steered us wrong, so we have to vote the way they tell us to.
Right, there's no way. There's no way that would steer anybody. And that voice that you heard talking about the newspaper thing, that's Matt Belknap's bandage.
That's right. I'm a sentient gauze pad.
For those that are watching, you probably noticed that Matt has a bandage on his head. Those listening, you're just going to hear about why he's got a bandage on his head. Mm-hmm. Matt, why do you have what can only be described as a ping pong ball size piece of gauze on your head?
It's not the width or the height. It's the depth of it that really makes it ridiculous. Like I put a beanie on this morning to go for a walk. And even with the beanie pulled down to my eyebrows, you could see a lump sticking out. Like, it didn't do it. Like, I was like, oh, could I hide this? No, I couldn't hide it if I wanted to.
You couldn't hide it. I may not have gone beanie, by the way. I don't know if I would have worried about upsetting that. Or did you redress it?
No. I mean, the bandage is still on there. I just pulled the
I understood.
Beanie. Yeah. I mean, it was not comfortable. And then I immediately pushed it up above the ping pong ball because I didn't want more pressure on it. Basically, I had a skin thing. You know, I went to the dermatologist and they did a biopsy and they said, hey, we should get rid of this. And so I did that yesterday and it was mostly boring. I know you've done, it's called Mohs surgery. You had it on your cheek.
I had the Larry surgery. That's of all the stooges.
Yeah.
You want the Larry.
Yeah.
So Mohs. S.
Right. Yeah, I think so. And so they have to they take a layer off and then they go into another room and I guess they're analyzing it for cancerous cells. And the taking the layer off takes 90 seconds. The analyzing of her cells takes 20 to 25 minutes. So you're just sitting there going, and then they did that. Then they came back and they're like, OK, we got to do a little more. They did another layer, went away for another half an hour. And then came back and said, okay, we got it. And then they had to stitch it.
Oh, they got it in two for you.
Yeah, because it's my forehead. Yeah. There's not much.
As I said last week.
You predicted that. Yeah.
Or on Monday, rather.
Yeah. It didn't have to go very far because there's not much depth to your skin on your forehead. The downside of the forehead is that not a lot of meat to deal with the, you know, sewing it up.
Right.
So I haven't seen it yet, but they stitched the inside of it. And I don't even remember how many. I asked the woman, like, how many stitches was that? She was like, oh, I don't know. Like, she had lost count, basically. She was like, well, we did a bunch on the inside, and then it was, she's like, let's see, it's, it's 8 on the top layer.
So 8?
8 stitches visible, and then more stitches underneath that.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stitches.
Yeah, it was unpleasant, too, because I might, remember we were talking the other day, who were we talking about it with, that redheads don't respond to anesthesia or
Steve Caron.
Oh, Steve Caron, right. Mm-hmm. I was like, who has red hair that we talked to recently? I don't know if that also applies to like Novocaine or numbing stuff, and I don't know if I also have some latent redheaded genes because like they shot my forehead full of Novocaine or whatever. I don't know if it's technically Novocaine, but it's whatever it numbs you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did the first thing, and I could still feel a little bit. It was like more feeling like the, not pressure, but the like pulling more than the
right
nerve endings responding to it. But then they came back to do the second one. And it was like I said, 20 minutes later, he's like, can you feel this? I was like, yep,
you sure can.
Oh. And so he had to shoot more stuff in there. And then they left into the second one and were gone for longer than they had been the first time. And then came back in and then started doing the stitching. And I had to wait a little while for that too. And they didn't shoot more of it before the stitches. And when they started the stitches, it was like, okay, this is okay. But then they got to the edge of it,
yeah,
towards the center of my forehead, and I was like, oh, I 100% feel the needle going in. This is so
did you say anything?
No, I was like, I mean, by the way, she had been stitching for so long. I was like, this must be the last one.
It's
almost done, right? So I was like, what's the point? And don't shoot me. Like the needle putting in is the same as the needle of the thread. So just finish it. But it wasn't the end of it. It was like 3 or 4 more. And I was just like, I was getting hot. You know, I don't know if you've had that thing like when you're experiencing pain, you start feeling warm. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's the feeling right before you pass out. It's that sort of
everything
feels kind of warm. I was feeling that, and I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just breathe deeply. And I got through that, but like that part was unpleasant. The other unpleasant part was the cauterizing of the wound after each thing, which is just the smell of burning skin is what, mm-hmm, is what that is. And so you're like, what is that? Like, oh yeah, that's my flesh. That's my burning flesh. Right. Because the guy didn't explain. He was like, the woman who did the stitching, she's great. She's got like a great bedside manner. The guy who like, it's like a father and daughter team who it's their practice. And he's very, strictly business. Like he doesn't have any bedside manner. He's just like, okay, but didn't explain anything. And so I didn't know that that's what that was. I just heard a weird noise and then I smelled something. I was like, oh, they're probably burning my flesh. And then even when the lady came in to do the stitches, she like, you know, a while later, she was like, oh, you guys really, you really made a stink in here. I was like, yeah, I mean, this is your job, right? You've done this before.
And like, she was surprised by it.
Yeah. So it was like, was there an extra amount of flesh burning?
What's going on?
I don't know. So that part was just like psychological. Like it's always the thing with procedures where it's like, part of it is the physical discomfort and part of it is the psychological effect of knowing what's going on.
Well, what are they doing? What are they?
Yeah.
Like you envision,
like when you eat, like, if you're totally numbed out, but you feel the tugging of a of a stitch, you know, being tightened, you're just, the tugging is like, oh God, I know what that is. And that's not cool. I don't like this thought of it. And so, yeah, you have to manage that whole shit.
So was there talk of going full phantom before they decided to do just quarter or
this? I don't know why this is so. I didn't answer their initial question. It's like, why is this gauze so gigantic? I think it's supposed to be like, she called it a pressure bandage.
Oh, okay.
So it's like they put it on and pushed and then like taped it down real tight and said, you got to leave that for 24 to 48 hours.
To 48 hours?
24 to 48. But after sleeping with this on my head last night. I'm like, I'm going to get to 24.01 and rip this fucking thing off.
That's 24 to 48.
Because like, I can't take it for another night.
Also, you must, in walking, you have to be off balance. That looks to weigh 9 pounds.
It's throwing everything out of whack. I feel like the tides are different because of this thing.
Makes sense. You're like a glowfish. Right? Isn't that what those things are called with that thing?
Yeah, the thing that dangles in front of you.
Every time you turn to me, I'm getting hit in the face by it.
You have not been introduced yet. I'll ask you to shut your mouth.
Your eyebrow going to be okay under there?
Yeah, other than when I pull this tape off, I don't know if it's going to take some hair with it, but...
yeah, that'll grow back.
Honestly, it's not sticking that great to begin with, so I think it'll be okay.
Oh, okay. Good.
You don't have to redress it?
Once I take it off, I clean it with alcohol, I put Neosporin on, and then I slap a Band-Aid over it, and I have to do that for, I think, 2 weeks. I get the stitches out in 2 weeks. So.
Oh, wow. 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. When I had it done, I had it done here on my cheek, which is a little fattier than your forehead. And then I had it done where one of the breaks was also lunch break. Not only was we're now going to go and analyze this.
Yeah.
We're breaking for lunch, so you can break for lunch too. And so I'm walking around Santa Monica for 90 minutes.
Oh wow, that long?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You got to bump your break back.
Yeah.
Or
at least keep you in house. I'm more worried about you being out in the world.
No, they want you out. They actually tell you get out, even for all the breaks.
Okay.
They're like,
not me. They made me just sit there.
Really?
Yeah.
They said, we'll text you every time. They said, okay. go off for a walk. Go for it.
Well, one thing when they started, the woman was like, good news. You're the first person. So there won't be any wait for the testing part.
That's it.
So they're like, that'll be faster than it would have been if there's other people who are also, but right. Then I don't know about the second one, like if I was in a line, it's still, I guess compared to what you're describing, it was still faster, but
mine was all day. Mine was an all day affair.
It's crazy.
Like nine to three.
Mine took I think I was out of there, I think like an hour and 45 minutes after I started.
Good for you.
Yeah,
but yeah, but like you said though, this is they had to keep going deeper.
They had to go deep. Yeah. So, how do you remember how many layers they did on you?
If I'm guessing, 36.
Oh Jesus!
I don't know. Six.
That's a lot.
Four.
Yeah. So that would keep you there all day.
Yeah, because it's that analyzing every time.
When I was
plus the procedure plus lunch.
Right. Sitting there after the first one, I was just going, okay. I had your voice in my head going, it's a piece of cake. And I was like, yeah, it's a piece of cake, but still it's unpleasant. And so in my head, I'm like, I don't want to have to do this. Oh, I'm sorry. This is after the second one. After the second one, I was like, I do not want to have them to do this a third time. Cause the second one was a little more unpleasant. And I was like, okay, but don't get your hopes up that they're done. Like, just keep your mind on the idea of like, well, they're going to do it again. They have to do another one.
Right.
They're going to come in and say, we got to do one more. And so when they came in and said, we're done, I've never felt so happy. I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. It was the best news ever. Other than, the election. Cause that was great.
Yes, that's how that sentence ended.
Yeah.
Just very quickly, that laugh you hear in voice here, that of course is Oliver Griffin Pardo, who's our guest this week, on this episode. We figured since you're part of the family, why do the ruse, why do the encore, the concert encore ruse of, oh, you're in the other room waiting while we talk for 30 minutes, then we bring Oliver in. Oliver's part of the team. And so here you are.
I appreciate it.
Get ready for the emails. But Danielle waits outside.
Damn right she does. That's right. She's a professional. She hosts her own show. When Oliver hosts his own show, he will then wait outside.
Yeah.
And then
I'll wait outside for my own show.
Don't be a smartass. Second of all, when you have your own gig, and then I'm bringing you on it, and now our guest is the host of the I'm going to bore you about Christopher Nolan podcast.
I wouldn't start that podcast.
What would you do if you were tomorrow?
Be like Scorsese.
You would go with Martin Scorsese?
Yeah, I would.
If you started a podcast tomorrow, that would be your podcast of choice?
No.
Would you have a co-host?
I don't think anybody would sign up to do that. I would put them all to sleep. They'd be like, yeah, we get it. Mise en scène. Thelma Schoonmaker. Enough.
You don't, there's none of your friends that you would say, you'd go to them, one of your theater buddies, and you'd say, hey, I'm starting a podcast about, fill in the word.
I think I could, I mean, What is specific enough that isn't already covered that is also interesting for anybody?
Nothing.
By the way, I would do a Scorsese podcast with you.
I would do a Scorsese podcast. I care about that too,
but which leads me to this. Here's a little sample of what that podcast would sound like.
Yeah.
I forget if, did you like Killers of the Flower Moon?
I did.
Okay.
Did you hate it?
I thought it was, to me, it was like a very like, glaring example of a guy who lost his fastball, like a and then so while
we're not doing the podcast now, I guess.
Well, let me just
say this. Hold on.
This is the pilot.
So watching it, yeah. I for some reason in my head I thought Thelma Schoonmaker had passed away. So watching it, I was like, man, he really misses Schoonmaker. She would have tightened this up. And then I see the credits. Oh, she did it. Never mind.
Yeah.
So they both lost their fastball.
I lost that at the point when. And I love him. I think he can do no wrong. But the point at the end of the movie when he comes out and explains the movie.
Yeah. That
part
was a choice.
Lost me a little bit.
Weirdly enough, I liked that part.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I got weirdly emotional at that.
Well, you're like that woman, that New Yorker who laughs at everything. Fran Lebowitz. Why can't I never remember her name?
Well, you got to pretend
I know
it's
why.
A city.
I don't want to.
it's a caring issue.
Yeah.
I have the same problem, though. It's something about her name. It feels like too many other names.
Who's the famous photographer?
Yes, that's
is it
that's
her?
Annie Leibovitz.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. I think of her name, and I know it's wrong.
Right.
And then I can't get to it.
But then is there also another Fran that's in the New York socialite scene?
That
there was the Fran that used to run Bud Friedman's office. Is that who you're
maybe.
Thinking of?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who I'm 90% sure, and somebody will be offended by this, I'm 100% sure she was dead for the last 5 years she was working there.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they just weekend at Bernie her.
That's how poor the reception
was. She was, you would call up and you'd go, bad way, man. And you'd go, hey, Fran, Jimmy Pardo calling. Oh, Jimmy. And I go, yeah, Brad said to give you a shout to get the new Vegas dates. Okay, yeah, Vegas, hang on.
I'm picturing, it's still going.
Okay. Who's this? It's Jimmy Pardo calling, Fran. Right, Vegas, hang on. Okay. And it would be that. Mm-hmm. And then you'd get the dates, and then you'd hope to run into somebody else in the office. They go, "Yeah, I called Fran the other day. Are those dates confirmed?" "Oh yeah, you're good." And so it was that until the day that she died. And she was a very nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very nice lady. Just should in fairness to her, she was bored out of her mind and wanted to do something.
Did she pass away, or did she go work for Monsters, Inc.?
she may have gone work for Monsters, Inc. That's a nice reference.
I was picturing the agent, Joey's agent from Friends.
Yeah. Do Joey's agents at Friends, plus 35 years.
Right. Yeah, she wasn't old enough, but yeah.
Yeah, it was a very old lady. Very nice. Fran would also come to the shows. Fran would, Fran and Bud and Alex, Bud's wife. The three of them would come to the show. I think Fran was Alex's or Bud's aunt. I don't know who. She was a relative of somebody.
Okay.
Could have been Bud's.
Mm-hmm.
But Bud was old.
Right.
So then
let her go. Why couldn't Bud just go, you know what? You've paid your, you've done your time. Like, it's time to enjoy life.
I think because she was bored. She probably was at home, bored out of her mind.
She just didn't have
anything. And it's like, you know, Bud, give me something to do. And he probably went, Alex, we got to give her something. I mean, well, let her answer the phones when those guys call for their Vegas dates.
only the Vegas dates.
No, that's all he had at that point.
Oh, okay.
The other ones were not taken away. When he sold to Robert Hartman, he did not sell. Obviously, you cannot sell Vegas. And right. You can't see. He didn't own the casino.
Right.
Vegas and Tahoe were the two that that he still had.
Yeah.
But all the other ones were then booked by Aaron, who booked the. You know, for, I guess, is it Levity?
Who owns them to the company that owns that company? Now. Maybe. That sounds right. I don't think I ever knew the. So did he sell the Hollywood Improv and all the other ones to Levity?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, man.
Maybe 20 years ago now? 15 years ago?
Man, he must have made a fortune.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And the funny part is if you went to visit, if you had to stop by to pick up your Vegas check, because you did not want to wait for Fran to get to the post office. if you stopped in, there was Fran, literally, and you could see, like, as time went on, Bud getting down, you know, downsized, Fran's in, you know, a corner while Levity's taking over the rest of the office.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to then, where's Fran? Oh, she's back there. Back here, Jimmy! Then you'd have to go find her. And then without being a dick, hope to God she just goes, okay, here you go, and you're done.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get caught in a conversation.
I thought, I imagined that he still had his own little office where she could be and mm-hmm. he would be, but they just were in the Levity offices.
Oh, they were his offices that Levity took over.
Oh, I see.
And they just, you know, Fran just kept pushed getting, her. Eventually she's had a thing like the Garen's on, just a yeah. little table.
She's like the guy from Office Space with the red stapler.
Yes, yeah. yes.
What was that guy's name?
Stephen Root's the actor.
Yeah, but the Milton? Character, Milton. That's, yeah.
Milton Berle. That was Milton Berle, actually.
Yeah, it was based on Milton Berle.
Was
yeah.
it Milton Berle for, because they also had that Michael Bolton joke in that.
Oh, maybe it was.
Well, remember there were, I don't know if you remember, you might not have been watching SNL at this time, but there were animated shorts with that character before Office Space was ever made. Yeah, like Mike Judge made little shorts about that guy.
About Milton,
and I think they aired on SNL. Have you ever seen those?
I have seen those. Yeah. And like some of them, like him burning the office down and stuff.
Yeah, I think there were some ideas that. I
did see that.
Yeah.
Well, that's in the movie.
Oh, I saw the movie.
Wadhams. Milton Wadhams.
Milton Wadhams, played by Stephen Root.
The great Stephen Root. Versatile.
Very versatile. Very versatile Stephen Root.
Yeah. And is he ever bad? No. I mean, I feel like he's basically only... Like, nah, he's probably been in some bad things, but I still am happy to see him when he pops up. And mostly the things he's in are good.
Or he's good in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or it's one of those... who we were talking about recently where it's like... he's always good. But the projects aren't always good.
There might be, but that's what I'm saying with him is like he's always good, but I can't think of a thing. I mean, he's been a lot of stuff, so there must have been crap around there. But like everything I think of that he's in was good, like Barry.
was he Man in the High Castle? Was he the?
I didn't watch.
Was
that.
He man? He was in Man in the High Skit.
I think so.
Really?
Because it wasn't Nick Offerman who I sometimes confuse.
I could see that, though they're not similar.
Well, if you got the beard,
they sort of occupy. They're both character actors who do a specific thing well.
Yeah.
I think he was Hawthorne in Man of the High Castle.
He was in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for him. He deserves it. He's a good actor. Yeah. I bet you we could find something. I want to say he was in something recently that wasn't good.
Hmm. No, I'm sure.
I mean, by default.
He has to have been in bad things because he's a working actor and... You know, you take a job, you don't go, oh, actually, that's not up to my standard.
I don't think he was ever better than he was in news radio, to be honest. I mean, he was just flawless on news radio.
Yeah.
And that's to say, he's always good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he was, what do we got? You got anything bad in there?
Velma?
No, Velma's good.
Velma.
Velma.
The animated.
The
Scooby-Doo.
I can't speak to that.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
That's a... People are split on that. People
it has a 1.6 stars on IMDb. So.
Well, that's not very good.
That was one of the rare things. I never watched it, but I remember when it came out, it was one of the rare pieces of entertainment that managed to enrage both the left and the right. Like, everybody hated it for different reasons, but they're all like, this fucking, nah! And like, it was like, how did you do that? Like, it's too woke for them, not woke enough for these guys? I don't know.
What did the right hate about it? Was she a lesbian?
I think they hated that she was Indian.
Well, there's that, but then also lesbian.
Okay, yeah.
There's plenty of... It's interesting because for comedy, and there are some people who debate whether it was funny or not, there were some things that woke folks, if that is a possible term, don't at me, would be mad at.
Right, it was kind of politically incorrect, right?
Yeah.
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 And so people who are liberal are like, oh, that's kind of offensive. And I'm not sure I like that. And then meanwhile, around the people on the other side are like, oh, no, you can't make her a lesbian. This is awful.
We're talking about Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Yes, correct.
And then she had a spinoff. Well, Velma or Daphne? Velma.
Velma. This is a reimagining.
Which one's Velma? The one with the glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daphne's the hot chick.
Sure.
I always traditional thought, standards.
In the original thought. Yeah, exactly. In the original Hanna-Barbera edition of Scooby-Doo, I thought Velma was also very attractive.
Yeah, I said hot chick for humor, you fucking dickwit.
No, I took it.
It's a cartoon.
I mean, that's the thing. The drawing is maybe too simplistic to even appreciate the beauty of either character.
I think heavens. Glasses
who,
and
who
sweater.
Who are you trying to appease with this shit?
I just want to make it clear, I'm not sexually aroused by either of them.
which makes us believe you are. Yeah. That was protest too much.
Yes. Well, you brought it up.
For humor, because it's a cartoon.
Anyway, the point, that show was, I think, conceived by Mindy Kaling. Mm-hmm. And so it was like...
And was she the voice?
Yeah, yes. I believe so. Yeah.
And that's what upset people.
Well, no, the character was characterized
Were they upset because they met her at a cafe once and realized she's a horrible person? Is that why they just like it?
I think there's people who, yeah, kind of just don't like her, period. I know for a fact there is. One of them might be in this room. But no, I mean, people out in the world find her off-putting in various other things. So this was like, oh, it's another one of her things that I don't like. Mm-hmm. And so there's that element to it. But yeah, just what Elliot was saying, too. It's just they thought it was like, stop ramming your agenda where like she has to be gay. It's like, oh, it's just some people are gay. There's stories about them.
It's an alternate universe version of the Scooby-Doo characters and let it go.
Also,
watch.
I didn't see a second of it, but she had to be gay.
Even in the original, right?
Well, she had glasses and a sweater that went down below her waist. Obviously gay.
Right. Thanks. Clearly.
But here's something mildly to get off of this part. Mildly interesting.
Okay.
He has a movie in pre-production right now called Thelma.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Is it about Thelma Shoemaker?
No. Oh, snap. Here we go.
It's about John Kennedy Toole's mother.
What are all these movies named Thelma? That movie about that old lady.
Yeah, there's already a movie named Thelma. Why are we doing another Thelma?
Tell Steven. He's got to get out of this project. It's going to fail.
Just call it Louise.
Yes. It's about the guy who wrote his mother. The guy who wrote A Confederacy of Dunces.
Oh, it's about his mother.
Weird.
Yeah. Whoa, that's wild.
Kathy Bates. So.
Whoa. Wait, I was told Kathy Bates was retiring from show business after Matlock.
Maybe she's going to squeeze some stuff in while
when Matlock is eventually canceled or ends, then she'll make 50 movies in the meantime.
And you guys are watching Matlock.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you guys on the not the last episode, but the episode before last recommended I watch it.
Yeah, it's up your alley, I think, but in a modern way.
Have I binged them all since then? Yes.
And oh, boy.
Do I think it's fantastic? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I think there's one character that's written poorly and not performed all that great either.
I wonder if it's the same one.
I would imagine it is.
Is it a major one?
Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
An office? Somebody that works right there in the office?
Yeah.
One of the people that shares an office with Frank with Matlock?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You dislike some other character.
I think there's another person I don't care for.
So interesting.
There are a lot of caricatures in the show, and some of them are a little more wooden than others, but I think that's the show.
Yeah, but I don't excuse it. I think there's a way to act that. In fact, the aforementioned Stephen Root could do it very well.
Sure.
I think when two people particularly, I wonder if it's the second one I'm thinking of is the one you're thinking of, when they show up on screen, you're acting.
Yeah.
Oh! There wasn't. You're the only person that auditioned. There wasn't a second choice here, because you're clearly acting and not ready to be on screen yet, in my opinion.
I find that I feel that way about almost every single CBS drama I watch, and I don't watch them a lot. But every time I see one, I'm like, this is it. You're a major network.
There were no callbacks. Yeah.
like this is who you landed on. Was there a process?
Yeah.
Is there with everyone, but there's always one, at least one actor. Right. You're like, how the fuck did they get this job?
Is there a possibility that it's the target audience? Because if you think about it, that kind of acting was all of the acting in the 80s.
Yeah, that's very
true.
That's
true. Anyway, I think it's great. I think the twist is very interesting.
Right.
And I think that, I like the it's trying to solve the crime nonsense. I'd like it all.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to watch this fucking
It ticks movie. All the boxes.
Yeah, it's procedural and not procedural. It's great.
That said, it's for a CBS audience.
Yeah.
That might be 20 years older than us. But I still very much enjoy it. It is comforting in the way that McMillan and wife and the other old timey ones are.
That's noteworthy, because I think a lot of shows reach when Columbo blew up during the pandemic, a lot of people are trying to make that kind of thing, and it's apparently not as easy as that looks, because many of them fail and don't do what you're saying. So yeah.
I've said this before, but I will recommend it again since you binged that. You should check out Elsbeth.
Oh no.
Boy,
no,
Paramount
no, no.
Plus wants me to watch that fucking show so much that I cannot turn off Paramount Plus when it comes on. I have to crash out of my Apple TV app to stop Elsbeth from playing.
That's
insane.
Weird. Maybe turn off autoplay.
Yeah, Paramount Plus wants me to watch it. Elliot wants me to watch it.
What
it's,
is
it's,
it?
It's so... It, All right. You don't have to know any of this to watch the show, but there was The Good Wife, and then there was The Good Fight.
Right.
I don't think Elsbeth was in The Good Wife, but maybe. But she definitely was in The Good Fight. She was an attorney in Chicago that was kind of colorful and like a comic relief in that show. This is basically Columbo, because the structure is the same. They show the crime, and then we watch her figure it out.
What if I don't care for the lead character?
I mean, that's up to you. I think she's charming, but it's...
Who's the actress?
I don't know her name. You might recognize her.
She was in... Did you guys watch True Blood?
Yeah.
She was the redheaded waitress on True Blood. She's great. I like her a lot.
You said... Yeah, what did you say? Because you said yes. Like you watched it this morning.
Obviously, I watched True Blood. Yeah. True Blood.
Fuck, what are you asking?
What the hell was I think? What did I think you meant?
Blue Bloods? Because I know you love that.
Maybe. I don't know.
True Lies? True That?
Yeah.
Social?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's just that you're just
that's my daily scroll.
What's your handle over there, Oliver, on
Truth Social? I think it's the Truth Seeker. I think it's the Shaman Junior.
Oh, you got two?
I got two.
I
have many accounts. Yeah. I have a spam account. That's where I just post my funny stuff.
Do you fight with yourself with those two different accounts? With multiple accounts?
No, but it's also, they agree with each other a lot.
Hey, you bring up a good point. I've not spent 1 second on Truth Social.
Yeah.
And anything, by the way, to stop this Ellsworth conversation. Oliver, you'll know because you've got the several accounts.
Of course.
Is it like X formerly Twitter or Blue Sky, where in addition to political posts, will somebody make a joke on there?
That's what I was about to ask, too, because it never occurred to me. Like, are people just posting cat pictures, or is it literally all just the fucking deep state, goddammit?
Well, I'm sure it's like a cat picture, and then be like, see, the left's trying to declaw our cats.
Right, it always has to tie back to the fucking grand conspiracy.
It's like, I wish we could just talk about cat memes, but the left's trying to take away our memes.
Well, they ruined Velma. I know that.
Yeah.
They're coming for Garfield
next.
Search
Velma on Truth Social. Your computer will blow up.
Oh, good question. All right. Well, thank you for that. And sincerely, thank you for the recommendation on Matlock.
Great.
Because I would not have watched it. And you guys say to watch it. I believe I watched all 7 episodes in 2 nights.
Wow. That's awesome.
And anybody can come up to me and be like, that's the worst show I've ever seen. And I'd be like, yeah, but it's still good. I still like it.
I agree with you, Garen. Like, Matt, if you're watching, you go, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Okay.
No, I like a good bad show.
It's,
like, usually a show like that, if people are like, if you guys are enjoying it, it just means it's doing what it's attempting to do very well.
Yeah.
And like, not every show is trying to be The Sopranos, you know, and that's fine. You don't all have to aim for that.
What do you think about that, Tony?
Whatever. I can't say any words. I just do noises. I do noises, Soprano. Whatever. Janish. Gotta go.
I
got whatever.
I like your impressions are just noises.
Yeah, I can't say anything.
That's basically what he does in the show. So yeah, that's 100%
crazy.
And it's that weird, a little slur. There's like he's got that weird slurring ass. Have you ever seen and I don't really particularly like this comedian, but Aries Spears does an incredible Tony Soprano.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Wait, Aries Spears, the black guy?
Yeah. And that's part of what's fun about it is like watching him go from talking the way he talks to suddenly doing that. And it's absolutely perfect. It's
Yes. I have seen that. It's really good.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I did a VH1 show with him. I hosted the Love Lounge. Mm-hmm. He was on the panel. Aries Spears, Greg Berendt, Suzanne Westenhofer.
By the way, maybe I do like Aries Spears. I don't really know his stand-up. Like, I probably have seen it once or twice, but
no.
But if he does that, Tony.
He's very I used to do spots with him all the time at the Improv back in the old days when I would go, you know, make that trip drunkenly over the Laurel Canyon, as we talked about in the last episode, 2 episodes ago, whenever it was. Whenever I talked about it.
2 years ago.
Was that long?
Time is a flat
circle. Did we just talk about it?
I don't know. To me, everything is like, if you could say 2 days or 2 years, it's the same.
Let me ask you a question. This is a very serious question.
Yeah.
Did they also perform a frontal lobotomy?
It's possible. I mean, like I said, there's not a lot of skin up there, so they might have been hitting brain.
They might have gone in there. You don't want to hear that. Uh-oh. Daughter, please go get a sponge. Daughter, yes, father. Oliver, we were speaking of auditions.
Yeah,
the big musical is starting over there at the at the high school.
Yeah.
Now you were in Fiddler last time, where you were just basically a
I was a stagehand.
You were a featured extra at best.
At best.
Because you were doing it to help out.
I was doing it to help out, and I knew some people who were doing it, and the play was over, and I needed something to do, so I decided to do it. And
what was your role? Guy miming clarinet?
Yeah, guy not allowed to put his mouth on the clarinet, playing the clarinet. I also had to have a fake beard, which was the itchiest thing I've ever – it was like a raccoon on my face.
Wait, go back. Why could you not put your mouth on the clarinet?
For hygiene reasons or something? Because it was an actual clarinet, and it was somebody else's clarinet, and they didn't have enough reeds.
They only had some cellophane on that thing.
Right? I say put some cellophane on there, or at least
they
condom.
They love the theater, Mr. Cellophane.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a $3 mouthpiece and swap it out.
Yes, yeah. Thank you, Elliot.
from the audience, you wouldn't be able to see it if there was a plastic bag over it. You'd just be like, yeah, that's right. What clarinets look like, I guess.
Especially because I was shoved so far in the back.
He really was.
Yeah. Hidden. And for good reason.
No, you know what?
It was distracting.
You did a great job doing nothing. And I mean that complimentary.
All right, so what's the new show?
Oh, so they're doing Grease now.
Oh, boy.
That's Garen's favorite musical.
Their favorite musical?
No,
it's great.
The movie's great.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're doing Grease. And I was not planning on doing the musical. Mm-hmm. And I'm still not. But I can't sing.
There's a funny non-singing role somewhere in there, isn't there?
Well, so my friend who is like helping out with the casting was like, hey, you should audition. Or the director says, hey, you should audition for Eugene, who's like the dorky guy.
Right.
And I was like, you're telling me you're looking at all these musical theater kids and I'm the nerd? Okay. All right. Whatever you say, boss.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
You don't want to be Eugene.
No, I don't want to like put tape on my glasses and be like, guy. Like, that seems so.
But you could bring
awful.
Something new. Maybe make it a little bit fresher. I don't know. Like that, it is a very like stereotypical nerd role.
I don't think you could make it fresher. I think it's set in the 50s.
Yeah,
and I think you're stuck with tape on the glasses.
I don't mean I just mean like you. I think you would bring something to it just by being you. But that's very reminiscent of when I was in high school. There was a theater class, and then there was like the plays and the musicals and stuff. And I didn't want to do. I had done plays and musicals all through, like from third grade to ninth grade, and I just like didn't want to do it anymore. And but then I was taking this theater class, and the teacher, who is also the director of the thing, was like, "Will you do this thing?" And it was a very similar situation. It was West Side Story, and I was like, "I don't sing," and she was like, "You don't have to. You're just going to be the guy who like runs the." YMCA or whatever the thing is where the school where the dance is. There's like a community center where there's a dance.
Right.
And there's just this guy who's like sort of a nerd and over here. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I could do that. Like it seemed like it would be fun and it's one scene and then I get to hang out with everybody backstage other than doing that one thing. And that to me, I mean, you've done all this stuff so you know how it is, but it's kind of fun. Maybe Eugene's a bigger part so it wouldn't be quite the same deal, but I think it's fun to get to go out there and get some laughs and then get the fuck out and be like, see you later.
I agree with that. I think it could be like Herod and JC Superstar. You're the showstopper. You come out. You got these all these greasers.
I don't think Eugene's ever been described as the showstopper. Except when he's so unfunny that the show stops.
I just
all joy sucks out of the audience.
You will get big laughs. You will do a nice job.
Thanks.
Well, you're in.
Sounds like you're doing it.
I guess I'm doing it.
You're in.
All right, call her up. Let her know.
I've negotiated the contract. You're in.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we got to carve out some time for you to do the actual play.
Yeah.
Which I don't want you to say what the play is at this time. Because
wait, so there's a play going up at the same time as the musical?
Yeah, there's always the play and the musical.
Interesting. All
right. And some people can do both.
Some people can do both.
Yeah.
Most people just do one.
So wait, there's a play and a musical in the fall and a play and a musical in the spring?
Yeah, wow. Which is nice. Like that's,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
What was the musical in the fall?
Charlie Brown.
Oh, you're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
I did that when I was in seventh or eighth grade. Yeah, hated it.
Yeah?
Well, the main reason I hated it was because the school had a director that was great, like really good at directing. And like he left and they hired someone who came in and was just like, okay, we're gonna just like not even dual cast, we're gonna like group cast every part. So like instead of having one Charlie Brown and one Linus and one Lucy, there were like five Linuses and five Lucy. Everybody
rough.
Got one scene. So
oh,
it was like
no.
Oh, so,
oh, that's terrible.
So I got to be Linus in one scene and it was like, this blows. Like, this is, nobody's happy now. Like, yes, you obviously someone's gonna get rejected and feel bad if you if they don't get the big part they wanted. But now everybody's just kind of disgruntled, and also the show kind of, then it's just a review and it kind of sucks. And so that was actually
really rough.
That's what made me quit. I was like, after that show was over, I was like, I don't want to do this again. Cause
that's it's a boring show anyway. So,
I don't really remember it, but I, you got it.
Maybe Five Linus jazzes it up a little bit. Breaks up the monotony.
I don't know.
You don't have to see the same fucking sad sack every scene.
I think also, I think my voice changed in the middle of rehearsals. Like when at the beginning of the rehearsals, I hadn't changed. And by the time the show started, my voice was deeper. Oh. And the director was like, I was singing. I chose to drop down. And the director was like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, my voice sounds like this now. So, yeah. Okay, what do you want me to do? And she's like, no, it's Linus. You got to be up here. And
I'm
like,
dummy. Jesus. Linus is up here.
Linus, so I was like, okay, so Linus, I got to go falsetto?
Go up top.
It was awkward. I wasn't a trained singer.
Yeah.
No. I am now.
the TV guy, the guy that runs the TV channel, the TV host guy. What'd you say?
I was thinking that too.
The sticks and stacks and wigs and wax.
That was my first thought. But does he actually? He does actually sing something. I think in the.
Does he?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
Maybe in the musical.
He doesn't do hand jive.
That's what I thought.
He dances to it.
Oh, that's right.
And yes, he does sing hand jive, but everybody does.
Yeah. It's one of those where it's a group number.
Like you don't have to. It's not a solo. You could do that.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking when I said, hey, there's a part where you can just be funny.
And I think you'd be good at that. I think you'd be good at that guy. I actually think you'd be good as Eugene as well if you just accepted, like, this is just a fun, stupid role. What?
Does Eugene have to participate in the dance numbers because he's one of the greasers? Or is he not a greaser?
Eugene is not a greaser.
He's not a greaser.
No, you're thinking of Duty?
Maybe. Whoever the lowest guy on the totem pole is.
Well, that's, believe it or not, it's Putsy.
Is it really?
Wow.
At least it was in the movie. I want to say
that's
Putsy.
Okay.
That is like Star Wars level character naming.
But I blame Happy Days for that. Because wasn't Grease around before Grease the Musical? But around before
Grease did predate.
Mm.
But maybe the movie certainly wasn't. But maybe the movie had different character names than the play.
Maybe I think there's more
like Hamburger Fans or something.
I'm not sure they name like they're in there, but they don't. I don't know if they really actually name a lot of the people in the movie version, whereas
the T-Birds all have names.
Oh, okay.
Duty, Sonny, and Putsy.
I never heard Putsy in my life. Never heard of him.
He's the blonde-haired guy that is not the guy that was on Diagnosis Murder, and was not the guy, and is not Barry Pearl.
Not Duty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sonny, yeah.
I knew Duty. I know that name.
Duty is Barry Pearl, who is a very charming actor.
Hmm.
We know that Grease is the word.
Yeah.
But do we know why?
No.
Well, I got my problem then. No, I don't.
Because they're greasers, but we never do. They never really talk about why it's their hair.
I'll take it a step further. Do we know what something being the word even means? Like, what is their point? It's like, is it the ultimate? Bee's knees?
If I may, that song was for the movie.
Right.
It was not in the music.
Right, that's true.
Okay.
So Grease is the word was for the movie.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Do they add it in now? Like, I wonder if they'll do Grease.
Some productions do, yeah.
They should. I like that.
And there's another song in the movie. It's Sandy's got a song that's not in the original.
Hopelessly Devoted to You.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. That was just like, we got to give Olivia something for the radio.
Yeah, and it worked.
You did.
Big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Hopelessly Devoted. What are the T-Birds' names in the play, Garen?
Let me look that up. The musical Grease is named after the greasy hair, food, and engines of the 1950s.
All right.
There you go.
That's what
Grease is the word.
Yeah, remember when food used to be greasy? Not like that anymore.
50s.
The bygone era.
Bygone era.
Trump's going to bring it back. Don't worry.
Eisenhower got rid of it.
He sure did.
That's what I liked about him.
Yeah. You like Ike?
I like him. He cleaned up kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
The fried food industrial complex. He warned us.
You took it too far.
My headphones went over there for a second.
Are you all right?
I seem to hear everybody but Elliot. I'm not getting anything from your
mic. Can I borrow those?
Works out great for me, too, I think.
Does it? Yeah, you don't get yelled at.
Yeah, there you go.
Garrett, what are they? The T-Birds in the play.
All right. Kinnicky. And then Danny, obviously.
Obvious.
Duty. There's one called Roger Rump.
What?
I'm not sure if he's actually a T-Bird or not. It says he's a Burger Palace boy.
Yeah, they call him that in the play.
Okay.
Probably got framed.
Sonny is also a Burger Palace boy.
Is there blood coming out of my
Yeah.
I feel
like it's just more like a horror film. You just see one little red and just start spreading as the day goes on.
That one hit hard.
Go ahead, Gary.
I think that's it.
All right. And then in the movie, is it Sonny Duty and Putzy?
There is Putzy in the movie.
It's Putzy. And so the movie came out in 76, right?
Trombones.
78, I think. Oh, actually, I don't know.
78.
But
eight, yes.
Shot in 77. So, and Happy Days started in 74?
Four? I think so.
The movie has Kinnicky, Duty, Sonny, and Putzy as T-Birds.
Right.
Can I see a picture of the actor who plays Potsy?
Potsy was a character on that Love American Style with Richie.
Right. Mm.
And so Potsy, I want to say Potsy predates Putzy.
Interesting.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Because it would have made more sense if they were like, if Happy Days was like, we need a Potsy type, but that's too, that's a little risque to call him Putzy, so let's just call him Potsy.
Yeah.
Like it's like a cleaned up version. But if it went the other way, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I definitely think Happy Days came before. I know Happy Days came before the movie.
Yeah. So what's up?
All right. This may be obvious trivia.
Oh, that's Putzy?
Yeah, that's Putzy.
That's Putzy.
Do they say the name Putzy in the movie?
Yes. Come on, Putzy.
Huh.
You know, and it's that guy?
I have no memory of that whatsoever.
Me neither.
They say it at the beginning when they're in the quad, like, you know, when school, first day of school.
Yeah.
You know, when the 40-year-olds all arrive at school. They all show up at Venice.
What are you talking about, Wicked?
And that, yeah. Also.
By the way,
I get scared by the benches.
Oddly enough, Bo and Yang also go to Greece.
I might have thought they were just calling him Putzy as like an insult. Like it wasn't his actual name. Now that I think about it.
No, he goes by Putzy.
Okay.
That's his nickname.
What is he?
Thank you, Noises Soprano.
What does Tony think of
that? What does Noises think?
Putzy, what am I?
Wow, that guy wrote All Dogs Go to Heaven 2.
Who did?
Putzy?
Putzy.
Good for him.
The sequel.
Yeah, nice.
Good for him that he didn't give up.
They weren't happy with how the first one was written, so they got to get some fresh blood.
All of them?
Gary, give me the initials of the guy that played Sonny. I can't pull his name.
In the movie?
Yeah, I can't pull it, but if you give me the initials, I'll be able to.
Hold on. To go back to the...
So while he's doing
that... Yes, you had... This might be obvious trivia.
So it might be obvious trivia. American Graffiti leads to Happy Days?
Sort of unofficially, I believe. Yeah. I think the popularity of the movie made it possible for them to...
Wasn't... what's his name in?
Yeah. Ron Howard is in
American.
Both.
Yeah, yes. Right.
Yeah.
And there was a Fonzie prototype in there.
A type of a greaser guy, yeah. But that's so...
But Fonzie was not in the original Love American Style.
Right.
It's just Potsy, Richie, and the father. Mm-hmm. And the father is played by...
Gould.
Harold Gould.
Harold Gould.
Wow.
Yeah.
In Love American Style.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they... it got... If I'm not mistaken, it got such high...
letters, maybe?
Letters. I was going to say not ratings. They got letters.
Really?
Then they made a pilot. No, wrong. They made the pilot, and then it did not...
It aired as an episode.
It did not do well.
Oh, okay.
So then it did not focus group well, so that they aired it as an episode of Love American Style.
Right.
Then letters were like, hey, this is great. And then they got greenlit for the series.
So was the whole episode was that then?
Yeah. It's
Wait, really?
Richie gets drunk. And he comes home and he's consoled by his father about being drunk, right? Is that the episode?
Yeah, it's all about the television. It's that they get a new television.
You're right. You know what? I'm conflating two different things.
Maybe that's the first actual episode of Happy Days.
I'm conflating.
The Love American Style is the dad gets a TV.
So Potsy's not in the original one.
No, I think he is. He's got a friend.
The first episode of Happy Days, if you go stream it, is Richie has an older brother that never is heard from again. Mm-hmm. And he's living above the garage. And Richie's sort of consulting with him, but he's about to go off to college,
right,
or something. So, like, it is very different. Fonzie's not in it, as far as I know.
Yeah, we talked about this recently. Chuck is there for the whole first season.
Oh, it's the whole first season?
Yeah, then he goes away.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
The series began as an unsold pilot.
Here we go.
Starring Howard, Ross, and Anson Williams, which aired in 1972 as a segment titled Love and the Television Set.
So it's raw. Okay.
Later retitled Love and the Happy Days for syndication on ABC's anthology show Love American Style. I did not know that was an anthology show. Based on the pilot, director George Lucas cast Howard as the lead in American Graffiti.
Oh, shit.
Causing ABC to take a renewed interest in the pilot.
Oh, look at this.
So the other way around.
So that I did not know. So it actually, the pilot came before the movie.
Predates
the engine. And then the movie like sort of opened the door for the show to get picked up. That's fascinating.
So Anson Williams was in the pilot. So Potsy was around from day one.
The bottom line is 50s nostalgia could not be stopped. No matter what, one way or another, it was going to get on our television.
It was initially a moderate success. The series ratings began to fall during its second season, causing Marshall to retool it. Then they brought in the cool guy, Fonzie.
Hey. So they did like a half of a second season without him, too?
I guess.
That's crazy. Because like when I watched it in reruns, which wasn't a lot, but whenever I saw it, I never saw an episode without Fonzie that I recall.
Well, he was there early on, you know, in that in the poplin coat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they would just go and say, let's go see what Fonzie has to say.
Yes.
And he would say, oh, hey.
Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah.
And then they would go away from him.
And like I think they ran into him at the auto body shop or whatever.
Yeah, they
right?
can see that.
Yeah, and like he wasn't living above the garage yet. It's such a weird thing. It would never happen that way now, where like something would be allowed to organically develop over the course of years on television.
I don't know if it organically developed. I think he showed up once, did A, and they went, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
And then they made him, the very next day, he was all of a sudden the star.
Because it was so popular. But that's what I mean. Like, can you think of a show that added a character?
Yeah.
He was on it since the beginning. He was on it. He was always on it. It says he just became. He was a secondary character that they then.
Yeah, right. Elevated. Yeah, that's what he just said.
Oh, okay, sorry. I was reading it, so I didn't hear you.
Yeah, and then what did you say about Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad. Esposito. He was supposed to be on one episode.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then he became like a really big part of the show.
But that's not like I just mean like a sitcom where it's an established situation, and then like halfway through the run they bring someone.
You know what?
In.
Probably the.
Was Family Matters like that? Was
yeah. no, you're right. With Urkel.
Urkel?
Yeah,
Urkel.
He wasn't supposed to be. He took over the show.
He took over the show. He Fonzie to the show.
Yeah.
Oh, and also Jimmy Walker on Good Times took over the show, which is why John Amos quit.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Because it was not the show he signed up to do.
Yeah.
Because it became goofier than he expected.
It was not as like.
And then more recently, a Big Bang Theory. They.
What's her name? Melissa Rauch?
Yeah, she became a bigger character.
Yeah.
But that's a girlfriend.
I think people were okay with that. Well, and then like on Parks and Rec, I'm not saying he didn't take over the show, but Adam Scott came in that was pretty like.
Adam Scott and Rob Lowe did kind of take over the show there for a season.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he wasn't original either, Rob Lowe, right?
Mm-mm.
No, they came in at like the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were part of the.
They were working together. Yeah, because remember Mark Brandanowitz in season one?
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
He quit.
The actor?
Bizarre. Right? That's the story, is that he walked away.
Was he the love interest?
Yeah.
He was sort of Leslie's, love interest.
He worked in like...
I like that guy.
Building management, but...
Interesting.
You like the actor or you like the character?
I like the actor.
The actor's fine. The character was so boring. The whole show
was boring.
The whole show was so boring when it started. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Everything they tried was just like a miss. It was like, why is this guy in a ditch?
Oh, stupid. God damn it.
Stupidest idea.
Just so trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was before we knew who Chris Pratt was. And it was like, they found a way to make Chris Pratt boring. Just like, in retrospect, I mean, he's come full circle at this point.
I think he's made it.
But like, circle of Pratt. But if you look at the golden era of Parks and Rec, he's so funny on it and so great.
No, he is.
You'll take Brandanowitz?
No, he is. And then he gets tiring, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think they all did. I think they all became caricatures.
If you watch some of the bloopers from that show, him genuinely cracking everyone else up is really fun to watch.
What's his name?
Jim O'Hare.
Jim O'Hare's got a book.
Yeah.
Got a new book out. He's touring the country doing book signings.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to dive deeper into Parks and Rec, which I'm cool with not doing, I got it. I got everything I need to know about Parks and Rec. But if you want more about that, look, I asked for a book about the Flipside record chain, record store chain. So, you know, we all have our interests.
Mm-hmm.
If Parks and Rec is your bag, Jim O'Hare, who was there every day, has written a book about it.
What?
So check that out. If that's what
know he's got good stories. He was here and he told some of them.
Yeah, I like Jim. Jim's a good guy. As we know, I started with Jim at the Roxy in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on to play Larry. right? Wasn't that the real name?
Yeah.
Did they got his name wrong for
it was
10 years?
I think they did that twice. I think it was actually Gary.
Oh, is that right?
Actual name, yeah. And then they just thought it was funny to call him Larry or Jerry. I don't know.
Well, very good. We wish everybody a lot of luck, as we do all the actors.
This fucking bandage itches so badly.
Oh, no.
It's killing me.
Can you itch Yikes. It?
I mean, I guess I can. You can go like that, but that doesn't satisfy me.
What if you did like the, what I usually like, you do like a whole thing that.
I don't want to move it around because moving the skin, even like I discovered last night, like if I laugh, like the muscles in my forehead go up and then that doesn't feel good. So.
Is that why you're not doing it today?
I mean, I think I'm trying to laugh without moving my forehead, which is a weird thing to think about.
I'll tone it down.
Yeah, thank you.
When is 24 hours up?
It'll be like 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Oh boy, so we won't be here anymore. We'll be done. I was going to say maybe you can unveil.
Oh God, I don't think anyone wants to see that. It's probably all bruised.
I'd like to take a look at it.
She was like, after she did the stitches, she was like, I forget how she said it, but she's basically like, you know, I was pulling pretty hard. There might be some bruising, but you know, because of gravity, the blood it might drop. So you might end up with a black eye. Oh. Like it might look like I gave you a black eye, and that hasn't happened. So that's good. But I do expect to peel it back and see like a lot of purple. And
who knows? Let's take a look.
I would love to just to scratch my forehead.
I'd like to just take a look at that thing. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I've been around a lot of them.
I'll take a picture and send it to you.
Oh, please do. Sincerely. I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Take a break. When we come back, we've got we're trying to match Garen with the end drama movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Garen has a celebrity sighting.
Yeah.
So and then we'll also dig in deeper a little bit with Oliver and find out what's going on in his life. We know he's out on Greece.
Well, apparently I'm back in.
The thing is, apparently if you're doing another play at the same time,
right,
I totally
thing.
Get, like, yeah. You don't need to be in two things. I mean, I'm sure there are other people who are, but...
Yeah, they don't need to be that much of me.
Right.
Well, what happened last time was the play ended. Then Fiddler was still going, and they needed bodies.
Yeah.
And you didn't want the fun to end. You wanted to be around your friends.
Yeah, I wanted to keep doing. I wanted to keep, you know...
I know you're not allowed to reveal what the play is, according to your dad, but... Yeah. Have there been auditions yet?
There have been auditions, and then the callbacks are going to be Monday when we get back from break.
Gotcha. Mm.
So see that.
Now, wait a minute. You say you don't sing. Now, before we take a break, you say you don't sing, but you've been going to karaoke lately.
Yes, yeah. My friends and I have been doing, we did blind karaoke the other day.
What's
which
that?
Is fun.
What does that mean?
That's where you're sitting, and you have your back to the screen, and you don't know the song. But your friends hopefully pick a song that you know, and then you have to try to do it.
So from memory, then, is the idea.
Yeah, and you got to be on the beat. And I did okay.
What song did you get?
I got Eleanor by the Turtles.
Jesus Christ. I don't know.
What nerd group are you hanging out
well,
with?
Well, they know I like the Turtles, and I'm a big fan of the Turtles, and this is true. I looked it up. There is a name for Turtles fans, according to Google. Somebody wrote this. According to Google, the name of people who are fans of the Turtles are Turtles fans. That is, according to Google, I took a screenshot because I was like, I gotta make note of this.
Yeah, who would believe it?
I still don't.
Somebody wrote that. Somebody took the time to go, what do we call ourselves? There's so much there.
Yeah,
there's
turtlenecks,
so much
the shells, the turtlenecks,
the shells,
the turtlenecks.
That's good.
Tortoises, even if you want to be that guy.
I do want to be that guy.
Tortoises, even. That's
thank you, fake Edwin.
Yeah.
I wish that if timing had been different, you know, like because we know Mark Volman. He's I think he's doing okay now. He had some health stuff, but so I don't think he can tour anymore. But like we used to go see him at the Greek and stuff. Like,
oh wow!
Yeah, like he's a good friend of mine was married to him for a number of years. So.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And he's a good guy. He's a really nice guy.
Good.
Nice guy. Just don't sing or hum any of his songs near him.
Oh, yeah. He will sue you.
He will take you to court.
I think don't tell him that you sang a song in karaoke, probably.
Yeah. Seriously. We better bleep that part out.
Yeah.
Although, if it's in karaoke, he probably is already...
in theory, it's licensed. Off. I know too much about karaoke that you don't want to hear, but there are situations...
They're here.
Where it might not actually be legal.
Well, the thing is... They may have written Eleanor. I know their biggest hit was not written by the Turtles.
And
He didn't. Anything that's like some other performance of Happy Together, it doesn't affect him at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I can also tell you my singing was so off from the song, you probably couldn't sing.
Give us a little taste of Eleanor.
Nah, I'm all right.
You might be all right. I'm not.
You don't know? Do you know that song?
I'd like to hear a little bit of it, just to refresh my memory.
It's like, shoot, I'm trying to remember. It was like, Eleanor, gee, I think you're swell, and you really do me well. And it's like, your looks intoxicate me, even though your folks hate me. That's the only line I know. So I think that's a funny line.
And is that you talk singing or singing? What were you doing?
That's me just now?
Yeah.
That was talk singing.
Okay. So when you get up at karaoke with your friends.
So that's not what it sounded like.
That's not what it sounded like. I go more all out.
What's your big hit? What's your big hit? Your big hey, Oliver's here.
I do a Beastie Boys song.
Oh, sorry. So some rapping.
I do, what's yeah. Some? I did this time, we did Sure Shot. Sure. No, that's not true. We did Intergalactic. We did Intergalactic this time.
Fantastic.
And that was, yeah,
who's we?
It's a different, it's usually three of us. It's like me and then two other people who also want to do it with me.
Mm-hmm.
This time I only got one other person. So I was MCA, they were Ad Rock, and then we were both Mike D. Nice.
And who joined you on that?
That was Angela. My friend Angela joined me. She joined me that time. And this guy, Ethan, he wasn't there. Usually he's our third. He's the Mike D, but he didn't want
to
do that.
So these parties you're going to when you're out till 1 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
you're doing karaoke at somebody's home?
Yeah, at somebody's house.
Wait, did you do Intergalactic blind?
I could have done it blind.
I guess if I thought about it, I could. But
I wouldn't know the parts.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, how do you know, oh, this is MCA's part, I should do this?
If it was just do it all, I could have made it halfway, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing the parts, I couldn't do that.
Well, speaking of Greece, didn't you do a number from Greece?
We did. Yeah. What's the
Summer Lovin'?
Yeah, we did that. Yes.
Who did it? Who's your partner in that?
It was like we all did it. That was like a group of us. Because then there's also there's all the like little guys talking.
Right, but if you're doing the Danny Zuko, who was the Sandy?
A friend of mine. You know, it was a group.
Being very cagey about this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I don't know. There's no point in saying you don't know these people.
Well, I don't know. Steve.
That's like, I have a teacher who constantly tells stories about people we don't know, and it's infuriating.
Man, that is...
He's like, such a funny thing happened to Mark the other day. And it's like, and you know that. That's classic Mark. No, we don't.
Wow.
We don't know your friends.
I don't have a clue what that's like.
Come on.
I will defend Elliot this far. He will explain in minute detail.
That's
who
the problem
Mark
you
is.
Have with
he
me.
He gave us backstory about Ellsworth we don't need.
Yeah.
You don't need to know this to watch the show. Great. Then don't tell us that.
I mean, apparently I didn't do a good enough job to have you get the name right.
What's it called?
Elsbeth.
Elsbeth.
There must be other cases of a show that's a spinoff of a spinoff.
There's got to be.
Right.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
Well, I mean, didn't that happen with Happy Days?
Oh, I guess if Happy Days is a spinoff of Love American Style.
Well, not just that, but wasn't there a spinoff of Laverne and Shirley?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they all stem from Happy Days, right? Like Mork and Mindy is in that universe.
Oh, yeah. Right. But he's suggesting that Laverne and Shirley had its own spinoff.
Even if I bet you there was one that didn't last.
I think you're
last.
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe with what's his name? With Eddie Mecca.
The pizza guy? And maybe also the two.
Eddie Mecca was the big ragu.
Lenny and Squiggy was an attempted spinoff series that did not happen.
Okay.
They also, I think, tried to, in the later seasons, when they go to Hollywood or something, they tried to, it seems like there's a couple episodes where they're trying to push this stunt guy character.
Yes.
A backdoor pilot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the Jeffersons? Did the Jeffersons have a spinoff? Because that was from All in the Family.
Mm-mm.
Right. Hmm. But yeah, it's something along those lines in the Norman Lear world.
Yeah,
there
right?
must be, or like a character.
Well, here we go. All in the Family had Jeffersons and then Maud?
Was Maud part of the Jeffersons?
Or was Maud part of
All in the Family?
All in the Family. I don't know.
Well, Maud did interact with Archie, but Maud, Florida from the, wait, or is it Good Times?
Good Times.
So how did Garen, you got it?
The Jeffersons had one spinoff called Checking In, which was centered on the Jeffersons' housekeeper, Florence.
Yeah.
Right.
She's a cleaning manager at a hotel.
And that aired.
Yes.
Okay.
For one season.
And I'll say this about that. That character was great as a fourth banana.
Right. As a first
as
banana.
As a too strong. The personality was like there to just to make Mr. Jefferson have somebody to battle
Wait,
with.
Wait, are we talking about Marlo Gibbs?
Yeah.
Okay.
And but the character itself too much for one episode to carry a show.
All right. I don't know.
Nothing is Marley Gibbs, just the character.
Right. I don't know how you feel about this, but was there a spinoff from Archie Bunker's Place?
We're about to find out that you're wrong.
Wow. It was a question. So,
I don't really.
As of 2009, All in the Family has the most spinoffs for a U.S. primetime television series, directly spawning 5 other shows.
Okay.
3 of which are very successful.
But again, I think the premise here is, was there a second spinoff gen. From
as,
a...
Yeah.
As well as 2 of those show spinoffs, each having a spinoff of their own.
Which are what?
So Maude was the first spinoff of All in the Family. Mm. Good Times spun from Maude.
I knew Florida.
That's right.
She was Maude's.
So that's impressive because that's a hit show. Like that other one you said about the Marla Gibbs, no one remembers that. But for Good Times to be a huge hit, and that was a second generation spinoff of All in the Family, that's crazy. And Maude was big too. So all 3 of them were big hits.
Jefferson's was the second longest lasting, and then Checking In spun off of that. And then Archie Bunker's Place, Gloria.
Yep.
Which was the 3rd spinoff, and then 704 Hauser features the Punker's house with a new family, the Cumberbatches.
Jesus. Oh, right. We got a set. What can we do with it?
Yeah. What do we do with this thing? You know, should we turn this thing down, Norm?
Because what really the thing that really resonated with audiences was the fucking set.
It's like 9/11 with the architecture in Century City.
It's not the characters.
They did that with Growing Pains and Hanging Man with Mr. Cooper. I think that same set.
Oh,
and they like. Traded like at the show they traded off.
Is that right?
It was something
a lot of those
weird.
ABC family sitcoms looked like they were the same house.
Yeah,
like, you know, the just the 10 of Us was like that too. Remember that show?
Yeah, with the great I got in an online fight with him.
What?
Bill Kirkenbauer.
He was the dad.
He was the coach. Remember, because that was a spinoff of Growing Pains,
right?
He was the coach
who left, they moved back to Minnesota or something.
He was on Make Me Laugh, the original one with Bobby Vann. He was a comedian, still is a comedian, lives in Texas now. But he would do an impression of a garbage truck at 7 in the morning. And here's my impression of this. And he'd put plungers on his head. And that passed for comedy.
My friend Eric, who I think most of you guys have met, he grew up next to that dude.
Oh, really?
And used to terrorize him. So much so that guy came to his door, pounded on the door and screamed at him to stop. Like he was yelling at him in the street and all sorts of shit. And he just told me this like 2 weeks ago.
Really?
It's weird that it's coming up. I told him if that guy ever comes on this show, we would call him.
I'm telling you this now. He's never coming on the show.
And he will never get the chance to apologize.
Look, in fairness, my argument with him was in 1997.
Also, I thought he was dead. So
No. He sells real estate in Texas and does comedy.
Oh.
He also tours with Roger Kabler. I know a lot about this guy's career.
Yeah, wow. Really?
All right, so we settled the spinoffs.
There's one other thing which it stretches it, but apparently Netflix is developing a spinoff to A Different World, which was a spinoff of The Cosby Show.
Whoa.
I don't...
Nah.
Yeah.
How's that? You mean like it's set? You don't know, but like it's set at the same fictional university.
I guess
it's
so.
It's not a reboot.
So it's a spinoff series about Dwayne and Whitley's daughter being in college.
So we're doing that.
They will have Dwayne Wayne.
I guess so. If it happens,
If you're interested in what 704 Hauser was about,
it was
an inversion of the formula of the original, featuring a liberal black couple with a conservative son. Who's dating a Jewish woman. Gloria and Mike's son, Joey, now in his 20s, makes a brief appearance in the first episode.
Huh. Just to tie it together.
I mean, that's, I gotta see where I grew up.
Other than the ethnicity thing, that's what Family Ties was. It was liberal parents with a conservative.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. 5 episodes aired in April and May of 94.
Wow.
Whoa.
The 6th episode was unaired.
I'll say this. Gloria was unwatchable.
Yeah.
Even though I love Sally Struthers. And, as was Archie Bunker's Place wasn't great.
Archie Bunker's Place was better.
Better than Gloria.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't great.
No.
It wasn't All in the Family.
Yeah.
It seemed like, guys, just give it up. Retire. Mm-hmm. And then he did. He went over to that Into the Heat of the Night. Where he played Bill. Bill, can't think of his last name. Chief, damn it. What's the guy? What's his character's name on Into the Heat of the Night?
No clue.
Chief Knight.
Garen, that's not it. Bill. Oh, damn it. And then, Garen, give me the initials of the guy that played Sonny in Greece.
M.T.
Michael Tucci.
Yes. BG.
Bill, yeah, Bill Gillespie.
Yes.
I'm on fire with initials today.
Wow.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go around the horn. We got everybody. We're doing the matching game with the movie. We're also going to call a fan who was a contestant on The Floor.
Nice. Oh.
And he's going to give us some behind the scenes on The Floor. How long are they standing there?
Hmm.
When do they get the information?
Right.
He may not be able to tell us any of this, by the way.
Yeah.
But I'm going to, you know me, I'm going to Joe Rogan this guy. I'm going to put his feet to the fucking fire and then back Trump. So I got my plan.
He's asking questions.
Hey, did you see Anthony Jessel? He's got a new special out. And there's a clip going around where he says, I can't do a Jessel impression. I wish I could. But he goes, look, I know. Look, Joe Rogan. I know Joe Rogan. He's a friend. But if you listen to Joe Rogan, you're a fucking loser. And then he does the whole thing. And he goes, because I know that because my brother-in-law listens. And then, it's a funny piece. That he caters to conspiracy theorists and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's a good chunk. Good comic. Anthony Jeselnik's got a new special out. I'm going to watch that as soon as I'm done watching Paul Reiser's special, which I have not had a chance to get around to yet because we just recorded the other episode
2 days ago.
36 hours ago.
Yeah.
And I had to go see Rocky Monday night. That's what I had to do. They were showing Rocky on the big screen, and it was like an event. It was very exciting. I've not seen it on the big screen in 40 years.
Did you wear your American flag trunks?
Yes! Of course I did.
Did you also wear lifts in your shoes and then talk about it?
Yes! I did everything that Stallone asked me to do.
But seriously, did anybody cosplay at the screening, or was it an adult screening?
It was an adult screening.
All right.
Well, I will say there were three women... in the front who, it's at the Culver Theater there.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Where there's the bar out front.
Mm-hmm.
Three ladies who, let's just go, we'll have a couple of cocktails and we'll go see the movie. And they had that energy.
Mm.
And they were laughing at things that weren't, thank you.
Yeah.
Right? Stallone is charming in his, he's in his numbskull way.
Right, yeah.
In his, you take a look at that. Like he presses the meat.
Yeah.
And he just goes, moo. So right. It's for a laugh, but it's not for a fall out of your chair laugh.
I mean, maybe Rocky II doesn't have this, but 3 and Up, those are comedies, right?
Well, I don't think that's fair.
They're a little more cartoonish.
They're more cartoonish.
Yeah.
I think the thing is... like the character, the movie is what it is, but then because of the sequels and because of Stallone being so distinctive in his speech and look, that it's almost become like, if you watch it now and you don't know anybody, it's almost like, oh, he's like doing an impression of Sylvester Stallone. It's like, that's just what it was. That's what that's based on. But now we think of that as funny because if a comic goes up on stage and goes, "Hey, yo, Adrian," it's like, haha, yeah, that you sound like Rocky. It's like, no, but that's based on a real character that was like not funny. That wasn't supposed to be funny that he talked like that.
Really rooted in reality. Yeah. I mean, it's really grounded.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't, it's not a caricature.
Yeah, it's like an indie movie, basically.
It really is.
And it's two movies. It's not only it's the about the fight, it's a love story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's in my top. It's still, it may be number two for me.
Whoa.
It's so great. I think it's just flawless. I think it's great.
Dude, he's still got those turtles.
What's that?
He's still got those turtles.
Cuff and Link.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's my buddies.
And Flo and Eddie.
I had to get rid of the castle. It kept falling down. That's what he says. And these three women laugh like it's the laugh line. Like, no, he's just. Oh,
is he a turtles fan?
What's that?
So then he's a turtles fan?
Yeah. Don't mention them. We'll get sued.
Sorry.
All right, let's take a break. As I mentioned, we got a lot to do. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, gang, Matt here with some dates for you. Never Not Funny is now on Blue Sky. You can follow us at Never Not Funny. Jimmy Pardo is going to be doing his annual Flappers Zoom show on December 6th. You get tickets at flapperscomedy.com, and then you join the Zoom room. You can hang out with him. You can request a bit and maybe be a part of some crowd work. So that's fun. Do that on December 6th. And then December 7th, he's in the Yoohoo Room at Flappers in Burbank. Again, tickets are at flapperscomedy.com. Also, the Smile Train auction for the two canvases from Parkcastathon's past. It was not up when we first said it would be up, but it should be up now. So if you want to bid on one of those autographed Parkcastathon canvases, then go to our website and there will be a link there. I almost guarantee it. So do that and enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program. Episode 32 wrong, 35-9. Of the award-winning
Thirty-five niner. Coming right. in on approach.
That's right, 35 niner.
You're cleared for landing.
Thank you, Elliot. That's Elliot up in the booth. Air traffic tower control tower.
Man of the high tower.
Wow. Yeah, Stephen Root. Stephen Root.
He's up there.
It's Hathaway. What was his name?
Hawthorne.
Damn it.
He has 294 acting credits. On
Whoa. That seems that's like insane. A lot.
Whoa.
Add to that, he was on one show for 9 years, right? How long was talk radio on? News radio was called.
Maybe six or seven. It was a while. It was,
I'd say seven. Maybe five without. Five with Phil Hartman, two without.
Maybe.
Or just one
maybe
without.
Maybe one without.
How many seasons was that, Garen?
It went from 95 to 99.
Oh, that's it?
Wow.
Oh, not as many as I thought.
Five seasons.
So five. So four plus one.
Probably, right?
That's not three plus two. There's no way they did two without him.
Right. Also because it's...
Oh, it drops off a cliff.
They need him. Yeah. They need him.
Yeah, it was a big character.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right, welcome back into the program. We've solved Stephen Root's. We've got 290. all right, so a fan of ours... was a contestant on The Floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we had questions on the show. We were like, how long are they still shooting overseas?
Right.
Are they shooting here? Do they rebuild the set here? If so, how long do they have to stand on that floor? How long are tapings? How many shows in a day? Right. And then this guy reached out and said, hey, I love I'm a Never Not Funny fan, and I'm a contestant on this season of The Floor. So we can get some intel.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to ask him why he didn't pick NNF as his category?
Oh.
No one could touch it.
My God.
He would right?
He'd still be standing there.
Yeah, I'd be like, so Gems sounds difficult, but I've never heard of this before, so I'm going with Gems.
Wow.
Although that guy picked Gems over animals that hop.
Yeah, no. That guy is an absolute mad lad.
Why would he pick Gems that early on?
So stupid.
I don't give a shit if you work in a jewelry store. You don't pick Gems. Here we go. So I'm calling Jeremy.
Jeremy spoke. Hey, that's alternative.
He hasn't spoken yet.
That may have been one of the songs.
Even Flow.
Even
this is the song they did. Hey, is this Jeremy?
This is Jeremy, yes.
Jeremy, Jimmy Pardo calling from the Never Not Funny podcast. You're on the air. Is that okay to talk to you?
Yeah, great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you now. Jeremy, where do you live now? 773, that's the Chicago area code. You still living in Chicago?
I am in Chicago, north side, yeah.
No, I got to turn you up. I've just been told. So you're northern suburbs or north side of the city?
North side of the city. I'm pretty close to Wrigley over here. Yeah.
All right. Be safe. The Dodgers just signed Snell, and that's infuriating in Wrigleyville. Actually, it's infuriating most baseball fans because it's the team with deep pockets just keeps getting better. Seems unfair to the other teams, although I understand that's baseball. You follow baseball, Jeremy?
I'm a huge baseball fan. We're going to talk about The Floor. That was one of the categories I wanted to play, actually. So, yeah.
All right. Perfect. Let's talk about it. So, you're on season two of The Floor. Here's my questions going into this. Does it still shoot overseas, or does it shoot here in the States?
No, we still filmed in Dublin, so went to Dublin for the taping.
And how long are you at? Do they fly you there? You're not flying there on your own dime, are you?
No. They took care of all that stuff. I think I flew in like the Saturday, before we started taping, and we started taping on Monday. Took the whole week. I had a couple of days to kind of adjust, but, Dublin was the destination.
That's so crazy. I mean, is it a tax thing? Did they explain it? I don't really get it.
Yeah, they did not, actually. a lot of the people who were working on the show behind the scenes were, like, Irish. So, hiring the local...
A lot of drunks?
Well, I didn't say that to me, but...
I did. Comedy show.
fair. I think that had something to do with it. The board is pretty massive, so I assume that would cost a lot to relocate, but
also flying all of you people in for a second season. How many? There's 100 people on the board. 88. How many are on the board?
There's 100, and then I think there was 7 alternates too that they brought.
Oh, wow.
And that was your category, right? Alternate contestants on the show.
Yeah, I'm like 7 to pick from. It should be easy.
All right, so let me ask you a couple of questions. So they fly you all over. They fly you first class because it's a SAG-AFTRA show.
No.
Because you're a contestant.
I think there must be something with game show, you know, like actual like film stuff. Like, so we, no, it was kind of a smattering of different flights. Some people had connecting flights. I lucked out and had a direct flight. I actually lucked out on the way back and got a first class flight, but
attaboy.
I think it was just based on timing. Yeah.
So let's pretend for a second, mm-hmm. to your point, there's 107 contestants mm-hmm. there flying. These are the contestants, mm-hmm. not Rob Lowe, not the crew, not the mm-hmm. not the producers. The mm-hmm. crew, we all know, they're, you know, they go to a local local tavern
right.
and say, who wants a job? Oh, let me put the chalet down and come and do it. So they, you know, they come over, they comb their red hair, and they show up. They, you know, they clean the vomit off their sweaters, and they show up. So, but you're flying, minimum, you're flying 107 contestants over overseas,
yeah,
and which is between $7,000 and $1,000 to do that.
Let's call it
$700. Let's call it $1,000.
Yeah.
That's $107,000 in airfare. Let's even whittle that down. Let's make it $100,000 in airfare. That's cheaper than building that floor here in the States,
or moving it. Yeah. You don't even have to build it. Just move it.
That's crazy to me.
I think it has to have something to do with the cost of production and tax credits that you get.
Tax credits.
I have the information.
Oh, we have information. Jeremy, we have information here. Garen, for the once, has the information before you.
It's filmed in Ireland primarily because of the country's attractive tax incentives for film and television production, making it cost-effective for large-scale productions.
Yeah.
Also, the presence of well-equipped studios, but like Ardmore Studios. I don't know if that's where they actually film it or not. Which accommodate the large set requirements. And additionally, production companies like Bigger Stage, based in Ireland, and are involved in producing the floor, which further contributes to its filming there.
All right, there we go. All right, so thanks for calling, Jeremy. Take care.
All right, thanks, Gary.
All right, so Jeremy, you mentioned that you're a big baseball fan and you wanted baseball to be one of your categories. You went with alternative music. When they say to you, you're going to be a contestant on the show, how many topics do you give them to choose from? And are some people assigned topics?
Yes. That's the question. I gave them three. Like, they asked me for like three, like what my top three choices would be. I actually think alternative music was my third choice.
What were the top two?
Baseball was number one. I think like indie films was number two.
Mm-hmm.
And alternative music was number three. But there were some people that were like assigned categories. If you remember back to like episode three, I think it was, Neil had world currencies, and he said like eliminated, he said like, you know, just for fun, I knew nothing about that. That was actually true. I got to know him pretty well, and like, so yeah, that there's a couple curveballs there with some people.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then there was talk before we called you. Was Never Not Funny ever in consideration for one of your topics?
I heard that actually. I was like, that would have been the secret weapon.
Yeah,
I should have went with that.
Unbeatable.
If they ever have a second chance, go around on the floor. Maybe bring that to the.
I would love
floor.
That to happen, and
I'll
then
bring it right to Rob Lowe.
Yeah, bring it to Rob in his beautiful sweaters.
I'd love for him to do that, and then Jeremy Herbel walks out.
No.
The one guy.
All right, so you fly there on Saturday. Here it comes Monday. Yeah, they decide you're doing alternative music. They made that decision.
Yeah, they sent us like a main list, like a full list of everyone's categories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's how I found out. Then Monday, right before we started taping, they send like a layout of the floor. So then you actually see who's like near you, who you might actually end up playing.
Okay. So you can do a little bit of recon in your hotel. Hey, I'm next to Gems. I'm next to female action stars and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We got the list, the main list, like about a week before we went out. So.
Okay.
If you want to study 99 other categories, you can do that.
I don't.
That was a little overwhelming. But once I got like the four that were next to me, I, you know, definitely made sure to prioritize those. Mm-hmm.
All right. So you stop by on Thanks for stopping by, Jeremy. Rob Lowe says to you. So you get to the set. you're about to start shooting. You're in your square. What time do you arrive in your square? How long are you standing there?
The first day was very long, working out like some of the kinks and stuff. Our call time was like 6:30, I believe, that morning. Ugh. We got to the studio, you know, let's say 7:15 or something. They didn't start. So then they put us into like this holding area where that's where people are studying or trying to eat or something. I think we started taping. The first day we probably didn't start until around like 1 p.m. or something like that.
Oh,
and,
Jesus.
2 p.m. And we didn't finish until about, I think, midnight.
Wow.
Whoa.
Or something like that.
So literally an 18 hour day, like they talk about.
Yeah.
And so and how many episodes are you shooting in that time?
That day was only 2 episodes. Yeah, it took a while to kind of get things up and running. As the week went on, we did 2, 2, 3, 3, and 2. So those, you know, the second day was a little quicker. Third day was pretty good considering we added another episode. But they were packed.
So after you're eliminated, not to jump ahead, but like this just occurred to me, after you're eliminated, do you go sit in the audience or do you get to watch backstage or how does that work?
They make you disappear like you were never there. You're completely whisked away and gone. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I, you know, you don't, at some point after like the first day, we started realizing, oh, we're not going to be able to say goodbye to people.
Oh, wow.
We started like, you know, exchanging phone numbers and like, following each other on social media, considering that we might not see each other again.
That's one of the things on the show that is not really explained, but it's, you see a little of these people on the floor are bonding and becoming friends. And the show doesn't really let you in on how that's happening or why that's happening, but they are playing off of the idea of like, that's my best friend or whatever. So is it just because you're in such an unusual situation and you're sharing it?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely like, you know, trauma bonding or just like super like quick, like strong bonds being made within like a day. Like there's some people who I was only there with like barely over a day that I'd like, you know, I think I'll be in touch with for a long time.
Really?
But like, yeah.
these are other goofs you met on a game show. I don't talk to people that were in my wedding party. What are you talking about?
That's fair. We're like the group is pretty tight right now. You know, it's still airing.
That'll go away. Yeah,
you know, we're all still into it.
You got the community theater thing going on where you're still all in the trenches, and then eventually you all go back to your real lives, and you realize you don't give a shit about the guy who likes plants.
perhaps. I don't know. I'm being optimistic. But,
Jeremy, do you think they don't show the friendships on there because they're too busy having a 3-second countdown last 45 seconds? Do you think that's why there's no time to show that? And they got to show you assholes whispering to each other. I think he knows a lot about shoes.
The 5 seconds helped. No fucking shit, it helped. You had more time than the other person. By the way, the guy who said that the 5 seconds helped, that guy didn't need the 5 seconds. He had 7 seconds left when it ended. It was like, well, it didn't need it, and he fucking wasted it. The actual analysis would be, hey, he shouldn't have used that. He didn't need it that time.
If I may, I think it was Jeremy who said that.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry, Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy's dumb.
Jeremy's stupid.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
No, I think the friendship thing was like legit, and I we were actually trying to tell producers like, hey, maybe you want to include some of this because we thought it was pretty compelling, but the countdown part was brutal. Like that part, you're kind of just up on stage because they stop down for the duel, and like you're up there waiting, and then it's just, you're just standing there waiting for like the countdown to start, and you hear the stage manager start like to cue it, and then the actual countdown happens, and then you like just totally like lock in and like, here we go.
Yeah,
it was intense.
Let me ask you a question. This is a tech question. There's 100 people on there. You're not all mic'd, right? Or do they stop down when it lands on your square? Do they then mic you then, or are you all 100 people mic'd the entire time?
We are all mic'd, and they told us that there's someone monitoring all of our audio feeds. I don't know how that's possible. But like
Big Brother,
you know, like. Perhaps, you know, the Irish Big Brother.
You know, he's not watching closely then, right? He's got a Guinness in one hand and the headphones in the other.
A shamrock shake.
Those are delicious. So, like,
can't blame him.
There was,
True.
There was a couple of moments that they caught me. Like one of my highlights from my time there was they showed me right before the baseball duel, and I kind of like called a couple of the minor league teams that they ended up showing.
Oh,
kind of through the contestants, and it made me look pretty good, I think. And to me, that was the highlight of the show for me personally.
So if that was the highlight, how'd you do in your character in your category, Jeremy?
Well, it was. There were some ups and there were some downs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I played Virginia at the beginning, and we all got the sense that everyone was going to love Virginia. We all loved her. And then I was surrounded by her. So I'm like, I was thinking there's no way that they're going to pick me first to start that episode to duel her. But, totally wrong on that. I ended up being picked first and playing her. And I said, like, you know, hey, don't blame me. Like, I had no other choice because I figured I thought people might hate me for taking her out.
Right. Well, I mean, first of all, you had to. She's this old bat who could barely stand.
Yeah.
She was tired, Jimmy.
This woman was exhausted. Why were you so condescending to this woman? She wasn't 95 on life support. She was an active 70-year-old who's probably doing a mall walk as we speak.
That's a fair point. That has been pointed out to us, but I don't know. We were just trying to have respect there.
All right, so you competed against her. They called you out. What was the that was not your category? No, you competed. What was that category?
It was DIY, which is
that's yourself, right.
Which she inherited that from someone else. So yeah, you know, I didn't know how much she knew about home improvements.
She knew a lot. She knew what a screwdriver was.
Yeah. She did. She gave me a good run for my money. But I didn't know that stuff either. So, but that was one of the easier ones, I would say. So I ended up beating her.
You feel so good beating the old lady? That make you feel good, Jeremy? Go back to Chicago, back to your buddies. Hey, I beat the old broad. Yeah, they put me up against this old biddy. I took her out.
I was conflicted.
Sure. All right. So you beat her. You sent her packing back to her Buick, and then what's your next category?
So then I go back to the floor because I wanted to play alternative music. I didn't see the value of kind of continuing to play, and I thought because I was touching like 30 something squares or something, I figured I would get called back up the next episode or the next duel or like the duel after that, and I ended up lasting all the way till the end, which was
more
cruel
because you would have gotten the 20,000 right if you had just lasted to the end. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Like it was, you know, people were like battling each other, and I somehow stayed out of the mix. But the last guy, he was going for like the new time boost, and he had a chance to play me, and it was for 20 grand. And so he challenged me, and then went up there for alternative music.
And he beat you in your own category. What happened?
I don't know if you guys watched it, but
we did.
One of the bands that popped up was Nickelback.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Come on. Yeah,
what?
I got so many bones to pick with the way they chose to interpret the term alternative music.
Me too, brother.
I've got a lot of bones to pick with the show, and I've only watched two episodes.
Alternatives are good?
Yeah, it was.
Nickelback's not that bad.
There was way too much like millennial, like you know, 2000s. Like they were doing all these things. I'm like, I guess someone was like, yeah, fine, Green Day. I guess that's alternative on some level. And then they jumped to Joy Division, like an actual band that I kind of consider alternative. And like that was like the only 80s band in the whole
thing. And I would not consider them. Category, I would not consider Joy Division to be part
because
of it.
Because that was not a term when they were active. So like it really should have been. If you're going to talk about the era in which that term was prominent, we're talking early 90s.
Which I'm sure is what Jeremy was prepped for.
That's what I would have been prepping for, too.
Jeremy, is that true?
Yeah, I'm a child of that era. Nirvana was, you know, a big deal for me. Like that's my wheelhouse for sure.
Then Nickelback does fit into that.
Nickelback does not fit into
Nickelback
that.
Nickelback is the most corporate
rock and roll
fucking band.
Right. You might as well put Bon Jovi in there then. Nickelback is not alternative.
It was basically the record industry going, people like this sound. All right, let's get 20 more of them. And like that's to me, alternative was a term that came out of like the need to define a music that was becoming popular that was separate from what was on the radio. Like, it was college rock, basically. That's what they called it before.
It was called college rock. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s. The college chart.
Yeah. And then they were like, well, we need another term for this.
Because not everybody who likes it goes to college.
Right. But, like, what was Nickelback the alternative to? It was the it was like the biggest band of the year.
They should not have been there. They're Canada's Bon Jovi. I mean, that's they're huge.
Right.
Yeah. Jeremy, your thoughts. Did you yell at anybody about that? Did Virginia get a listening an earful on this?
No, she got whisked away.
Yeah, whisked away.
She was long gone by that point, I think. No, I mean, I think maybe they simply could have, like, appealed or something, but I don't know what would have happened in that case.
So. Yeah. Every game show, you have to give some kind of way. Funny.
What?
Well, because you're competing for money, and although this was shot in Ireland, maybe it's different, but every game show, there has to be some way of being able to say, hey, that was wrong.
I think he's got a case here. I don't think Nickelback should be part of that.
But if you find one record store that put their CD in the alternative section, then they don't have to explain.
I'm not going to that record store a second time, I'll tell you that.
But that's what's we all agree that's stupid, but
we don't all. No. Elliot's on
board.
Here's
the thing. If alternative is a corporate definition.
Well, that's the thing. It got by the early 2000s, by the late 90s, early 2000s, the term was twisted beyond logic. Like, it didn't mean anything anymore.
But there is not a record store in the world that would put Nickelback in the alternative section.
But if Garen looks up, because Billboard has an alternative chart, if he looks up the alternative chart, I bet he'll find Nickelback on it.
And not only that, but as a person who likes music,
but doesn't
it doesn't define my life the way it kind of does for y'all. To me, Nickelback sounded like alternative. In other words, there's a style of rock that wasn't classic rock, and it wasn't 80s.
But it was the predominant style of rock for the era they were playing music in. Which
I have an alternative music expert on the line here. Let's get him. What do you think Nickelback belongs here, Jeremy?
Personally, I do not.
There we go. That's it. Expert has spoken.
Yeah. So, and Jeremy did very well on the show.
Like, you did.
Yes. Jeremy did very well. That's my son, Oliver, Jeremy.
The number one song.
It's great to talk to you, Oliver. I was happy to hear you were on the show this week.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, no, I was excited too. We were genuinely rooting along at home. We were very excited. That you were doing well.
Cool.
Yeah, we love the idea you took that old bag.
finally
enough with this. Send her back, get her back in her orthotics and get her out of here. What do you got, Garen?
Alternative as we know it does not even exist anymore. We can
right.
It, the number one song on the alternative song chart right now is Billie Eilish.
What?
Right.
So
is grunge the equivalent? Is that what we're talking about?
But see, that it's not just grunge. Like, that's the thing. It's it could sound like anything. It's just whatever they determine to be not pop or rock.
But that's not Nickelback. Of everything we're saying.
I agree.
I will acknowledge that Nickelback was, you know, on the pop charts. Like,
yes.
I heard it on the radio stations that I would have listened to.
You would, my buddy Ryan Seacrest would play it.
Yes, 100%.
But what Elliot's saying, I agree with. You can draw a line from Pearl Jam through
like Creed
and some other bands to get to Nickelback and understand that they were an evolution of a sound that started out as being called alternative.
Creed is those movies after Rocky.
Yeah, that's right.
It all ties together.
All right, so Jeremy, when you lose, and you did lose,
make no mistake about it.
Thanks for reminding me. Yes.
How long are you in Ireland for? You say they whisked you away. Are you there? Are you on a plane the next morning?
Yes, really? It was. After you're eliminated, they take you. So, yeah, we had to, like, pack every day. We had to bring, like, our stuff.
You're going.
Wow.
Yes, yep. And so after I was eliminated, they threw me in a taxi and took me to a different hotel, like, near the airport, just away from everyone. And, woke up the next day and flew out.
And see you later.
Crazy.
How much time did you spend with Rob Lowe?
Nah.
As you saw it all on screen, it was all there. He's, you know, he comes in right before the taping. He's, you know, he's out before that or in at the end of it. And I was actually, it was all a blur to me. Like, so watching back was, you know, kind of a revelation. I kind of forgot that I interacted with him as much as I did. So that was just an extra surreal layer to the whole thing.
Did he give you one of his winks? Did he wink at you?
He did give that look. He's just drawing me in with that look.
He's got
I think I shook his hand at the point.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You watched him lope off stage.
He can't say "Let's duel" fast enough,
right? Let's duel, and then he walks off like Shaggy and Scooby Doo. He kind of like, oh, do. Then he looks at the camera. I can't believe you didn't know Nickelback.
Yeah, he's got to get to. He has to get to his other mark where he can mug for the camera. Yeah.
where they Nick Cannon mugshot. What, Elliot? Then we got to go.
Sure. So I have two questions.
Two questions from Elliot, who's watched the show twice.
That's correct. And I have a lot of thoughts, but I don't want to jeopardize your situation.
This is Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah.
One question per episode, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. So first of all, there's the famous lockup game with the two women locked up.
Yeah, where people, like, they don't know it's their turn, maybe? Yeah, or we don't
exactly.
Yeah.
So Irma had a theory, but I'm not going to prep you with that. Do you have an observation as to why they locked up?
You know, I think, like, you get in that pattern of just, like, answer, you know, next turn, answer, next turn, mm-hmm. whatever. So I guess when you pass, you kind of just think, you know, I'm off the hook
yeah.
or something, but... They do show, like, so there's a screen over each contestant's shoulder, mm-hmm. and that's the one that you're supposed to look at. I think I kind of misremembered it, but, like, they do not show a picture when it's not your turn. So there, I thought the screen was blank, but someone told me that it said, like, the floor, like the logo up there. So as long as you don't see, like, an actual picture that could be a clue, you should know that it's not your turn.
Okay. Oh, so if you're looking over that shoulder and you see a picture of a screwdriver, you should be talking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which makes sense because otherwise it could be, get someone could accidentally answer when it's not their turn.
That makes sense. Yeah. And so there were no technical issues that could explain what happened.
Is that your second question?
No, that's part of Irma's question.
Jeremy, what's the answer on the tech?
Not in that duel. There were a couple glitches that happened, but in that one, no, I think it was just
human error.
Away from them.
All right, what's your second question
is, so there's, like, the sort of, not confessionals, but, like, the thing where you get selected and then you talk about what's going to happen in the next game. Do they stop down and take people off stage to shoot those so it's in chronological order, or do they go back after?
Yeah, do they make you Frankenstein it into it?
Those are done after you're eliminated.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm going to get her, and you're already done.
Yes. And they might have tried to have me say that about Virginia, and I was like, I'm not, I don't want to say that. They're going to hate me. I'm not going to say I'm going to take out Virginia.
Yeah.
I think America would have been on your side, to be honest with you. I think you guys on the floor loved her more than America did, quite frankly.
That's fair. I've heard a couple of things. This is definitely like a spot, you know, where I could have been okay with taking Virginia out.
Cool. Did you get to know her enough to understand why her life story involved singing the Hooray for Hollywood, or whatever the hell it was? So she started belting out at the end of that episode.
No, I did not catch the exact connection for that song. I will say that she serenaded us on the bus after her episode. And then the next morning too. So it was like there was a lot of Virginia love going on.
Okay.
All right, let me ask you one last question, Jeremy. What's with the weird arrogance of somebody that has, you know, wins a couple battles, you know, again, they won, you know, American-made products and pizza toppings, and then they act like they know more about the world than anybody else up there, where it's like, well, you don't want to challenge Donna, she knows everything. No, she doesn't fucking know everything. She knew mushrooms.
And she went up against a person who locked up and, like, I've actually lost consciousness for half of the battle.
Right. What's that about?
I was trying to remain very humble up there, and I didn't want to portray myself as some sort of expert because, you know, the come down is inevitably there. So I, you know, I try to be cool, but I don't know. People were feeling it, I guess.
By the way, this is a show we all like, and we're finding a lot of things.
But that's part of the fun of it is, like, you know, watching it and going, "What? God, you got to be kidding me! What the hell?"
Yeah,
agreed. What about that guy with gems? What, you ever any thoughts? That seems to haunt this show.
Oh my God, I can't get over that guy's stupidity.
Why would he pick gems? You talk to him on that sad bus back to the hotel?
No, I didn't get that. Was Mac, I believe.
Was that Mac?
I'm not sure why he chose gems. I don't know. The gems guy definitely seemed like he knew his gems. So
yes.
I don't challenge gems. If I'm up there with gems, I think I'm there till I'm the last square.
I mean, like, if I see gems, I'm like, okay, I know diamonds.
Yeah.
And emeralds.
Rubies. You might know rubies.
Maybe I know ruby.
Yeah, but are you going to confuse a ruby with a garnet?
Probably.
I might.
Onyx, yeah. Onyx. Every, any black? Is it Onyx? Obsidian? Onyx? No, they already did those.
I wouldn't even say Obsidian. I would Onyx. Even if it, if they were
done,
Onyx. Coal.
Exactly. Onyx pass.
Onyx pass. 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 I would just a lot of passes. All right. Well, Jeremy, what do you do there in Chicago?
I'm a film teacher. I teach at like a nonprofit in Chicago, like after school program for high school students. So I teach film.
That's awesome.
And I have a baseball podcast too. So I do that. Ooh. That's my other time of the day.
Now, here we go.
All right. All right. Since you were kind enough to share this information with us, what's the name of the podcast?
Oh, it's called Rain Delay Theater.
Rain Delay Theater, like they used to call it on the old Cubs games.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So me and my partner, we go to baseball games, and actually, you've kind of done some of this before. But like, we go to games and we kind of complain about the people and like just taking selfies during the game and standing up, like, you know, during the middle of a, you know, crucial at bat.
Right.
We're kind of like, yeah, we're kind of just griping about all that kind of stuff. And what it ends up being.
I'm sorry. What team do you root for, Jeremy? Are you a Cubs guy?
I'm a Cubs guy, Jimmy. I know you're a White Sox fan.
That's right.
I will say after 2016, I was able to kind of like, you know, relax my stance on the rivalry a little bit, and I enjoy going to White Sox games. You know, I love all of the teams. So, but I grew up a Cubs fan. So,
attaboy, you deserve it. All right. Well, listen. The name of the podcast is The Rain Delay Theater. It's you and what's your partner's name?
Jack Sulkowski.
Jack and Jeremy, they got this baseball podcast, if that's what you're into. Mm. I'm sure there's going to be a floor podcast coming out at some point, but I think I think we hit all the big beats.
We just did the pilot.
We did the pilot. We'll see how Jeremy will. We'll send it to the network. We'll see how it goes.
Tell Rob Lowe, please appeal for me. Thank you.
All right, dude. You did a great job on the show. All ball busting aside, you did great. And sincerely appreciate all the information because it's as much as I've hosted a zillion game show pilots or on the air, off the air, that one was mystifying to me technically. So I thank you for all the information.
Yeah,
absolutely. yeah, I'm a fan of you guys. Thanks for having me on. It was great to talk to you guys.
All right, dude. Have a great Thanksgiving. Be well.
All right, you too.
All right, there we go. That was now we can say it. Jeremy has spoken.
Yes,
now we can officially say it. Hey, I know we have a celebrity sighting to do.
Yeah.
Let's hold that for the next episode.
Okay.
Because time wise, we got to go around the horn and do the ends.
Sure.
The end dramas. Yeah. What do you got?
So just I didn't want to put Jeremy on the spot on this because I don't know what kind of NDAs he signed or whatever. But in the two episodes we watched, like there were several things where people got fucked. Like, one guy gave the answer, they didn't hear it, and so he lost 5 seconds, he would have won.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then to me, as the audience, like, the people's heads are in front of the picture.
No kidding, dude. Yeah. What is up with that? Like, why can't you figure the graphic out? Like, we can't play along if we don't see.
You got a drunk behind the controls.
It seems that way.
It's very clear.
That is the most baffling part of it to me. I cannot abide it.
The thing that frustrated me the most about that was the stocks and the abbreviations.
Oh, stocks was impossible to read. They chose the worst font.
A bad font, but they also, like, half the letters were behind
when
heads.
When there's things that are not visible on our television.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to play?
Here's the big question. Is Guinness an Irish beer? Because I don't think it is. I used it as my joke, but I don't think it is.
No, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
100%. All right. Very good.
I thought you were being sarcastic.
It's got the harp.
No, I wasn't
sure. It's got the harp on it, which I believe is an Irish symbol.
I know people have done the tour of their plant.
I know they got that book. Which we learned today in 1976. Very quick before we go on. In 1976, what band, according to Guinness, was the loudest band in the world?
Kiss.
You're wrong.
Led Zeppelin.
You're not going to guess.
Still wrong.
Elvis.
Still wrong.
1976?
76. Bicentennial.
Black Sabbath.
Still wrong.
Fleetwood Mac.
Worst guess I've ever heard in my life.
It's counterintuitive.
No, it's not.
Matt, it's okay.
I'm getting a little emotional.
You don't got to know every answer.
Are you getting woozy? Is there pus coming out of your bandage?
Hold on.
Is there any oozing we should be looking at?
The gauze speaks. So it's not. It's a band that you expect to be loud.
They're loud, but I would never say they're the loudest band.
But
the Rolling,
it's also
the Rolling Stones.
No, but you're close. You're very close.
Because that's the loudest band I've ever seen.
The Who?
It's The Who.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that makes
sense.
The
Who.
Remember that show?
Yeah,
it was really loud.
Dude, when the ice breaks, when the Hackney Diamonds break and they first step out,
dude,
it was nuts.
I was My ears hurt. And I forgot earplugs for that show, and I just put like napkins in my ears, and it was still bad.
As I told Oliver on the drive here, when we heard that information from Rachel Steele, our friend Rachel Steele on the radio, Motley Crue still the loudest show I was ever at, that Carnival of Fucks or whatever it's called.
It's got to be loud because it ain't good.
Awful. Yeah. That's, of course, as I told Oliver, the famous Mike Schmidt taking his watch off.
Yeah.
Dude, those guys want to fight. I'm taking my watch off. We're not fighting, Mike. I'm not fighting three meth heads from Riverside because they're standing in your way during Dr. Feelgood. All right, let's quickly do this. Garen, you've got control, so we say hello to you. We go to Elliot. Elliot,
yes.
What drama is he thinking of?
All right, this is the one I circled, Network.
That was my number one.
That's a good one.
That was my number one.
That's a good one.
Oliver, you're next.
That's a good one. I'm gonna go with No Country for Old Men.
Hmm. Oh, it's another good one.
That's a good one.
Oh, I'm wrong. Network was my number two.
Okay.
Matt.
I'll go Natural Born Killers.
That's a good one.
All right. I thought you were about to say what I was going to say. I'm going to go with The Natural.
Yep.
That's good also one. Good.
And all right. Give us the fans quickly.
Yes. I'm looking. I've got it here. Okay.
These are all good.
What about Nostradamus? I guess that's horror. Nostradamus? Is that technical?
That's horror.
Nostradamus? You mean Nostratu.
Nostratu. Thank you. Nostradamus is also a movie, I think.
It is?
Oh, maybe.
Well, he's a... like a psychic or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, no, I think they made a movie out of that.
They used to be old Quiznos ads where it would be Nostradamus says you're going to be hungry, and then they would start yelling or something. I don't know.
What does noises say about that?
I don't know. I don't know. I got a Quiznos.
What do you get a Quiznos?
And I give me the bologna.
Very nice.
What about some gabagool?
You give me the gabagool. Give me a slice of parmesan. There you go.
What am I? I've heard all day. I've never heard it before.
All right, I'm going to just rattle them off
real
fast.
Never heard him do that before?
Not to the extent he's doing it.
Okay. Nashville, Nanotchka, Nightcrawler, The Natural, Never Say Never Again, Network. I'm going to skip Nightmare on Elm Street. They probably didn't know. Nebraska, National Treasure, No Country for Old Men. That's the number one.
That was yours, Oliver?
That was mine. Yeah,
I had Never Say Never Again. And also Nobody's Fool, the really good Paul Newman movie.
Paul Newman movie.
Was that Night of the Hunter?
Oh, and Notorious, which I think is more of a thriller than a...
Yeah,
right?
That's not a horror.
No,
yeah.
Thriller counts.
Is Notting Hill considered... That's not a romantic comedy.
It's a romantic comedy.
That's a romantic comedy.
All right. Yeah. Noah, then, with...
also a romantic comedy. Those animals fuck two by two.
And then what about... does this count? New York, New York, the Scorsese movie.
Oh, yeah.
I would say it counts.
It's a musical. It's not a comedy.
What about New Jack City?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've also got No Way Out.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Great movie with Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Nightcrawler, great movie with...
I think one of the fans.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they said that. And then Norma Rae.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure, that's a big one.
We like her. Yeah. We really like her. Oliver, when you're with your friends at these these nerd parties of yours...
At these
when you're
karaoke's.
Not singing and you talk about movies, what do you say is your favorite movie?
What do I say is my favorite movie? I would say Goodfellas. My here's my Letterboxd top four, and I don't know if I stand by it. But here's my Letterboxd top, because I try to get different things.
Okay. How many followers do you have over there at the Letterboxd?
Three, and there's all these people at this party. By the way, I only didn't say the name earlier because I didn't know if she wanted to have her name spoken. Her name's Saisha, and she, for Blind Karaoke, speaking of movies, did, you know that song in Love Actually? The, like, he's a singer. And he does a song.
Yes.
And then he does a Christmas version of the song.
Yeah.
She did Blind Karaoke to that song.
Oh, wow.
And knew all of it.
That's very specific.
Oh, wow. Isn't that
wasn't
crazy?
That, I think that was a song and he was
right.
covering
oh,
it.
Oh, that's what it's...
I just never heard it before that movie. But then
it's like he does like a Christmas version
right,
of it. Which
exactly.
I think was just...
Yeah.
All right. So I have Goodfellas up there, which stands for all Scorsese. Then I have a movie called Mikey and Nikki, which is an Elaine May movie. I love that movie.
All right.
Then I have Boogie Nights, which is feels a little high.
Seems high.
Seems pretty high. And then Young Frankenstein.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Four great movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two comedies, two dramas.
That's what I try to do. Two 70s, two 90s.
Yeah. I feel like, I was going to say this before, but like between the Scorsese and the Beastie Boys, are we sure you're not my son?
Yeah.
it's peculiar.
There's some big things that are not similar.
Yeah,
that's true.
Difference is the word I was looking for. Jesus. Garen, give us your five.
Number five.
Garen Cockrell. We're matching Garen Cockrell, who is not on... you also have a Letterboxd account, right?
I do.
Do you follow Garen over there?
I do not. I do not know Garen had a Letterboxd.
Oh, go over there. See these poorly reviewed horror films.
Yeah.
Poorly rated. Incorrectly rated.
I'm very 4-star heavy. It's kind of gotten to the point. If I don't like it, then I don't need to get into it. It's nonsense.
All right, go. Give us your five.
Number five, No Country for Old Men.
No, Oliver's out.
Marone.
Number four.
Idiot.
Number four, The Natural.
Damn it.
Jimmy's out.
Father, son. Honda, Kia. Out.
Number three, Nightcrawler.
The
Jake Gyllenhaal film.
Nice.
Number four, Nicholas Nickleby.
I think you mean
number two.
Hi. Numbers.
Numbers do not.
Hey, what about numbers? That's an N.
Is that a show?
That's
a TV show.
Number 13.
But there was a movie called Murder by Numbers, but that starts with an M.
That's an M. Yeah. That doesn't count here.
Sandra Bullock and Ryan Gosling.
That's right. One of Ryan Gosling's first roles.
Do you think the two of them hooked up? I'd like to think they did.
I think they did. That was the story at the time.
Wow.
And he was like young.
Oh.
I love it for both of them. Honestly.
I do too.
So excited.
I love it for me and my thoughts later. Good Lord. That's a beautiful lovemaking session.
Sorry, Oliver.
He knows it is.
No,
he's seen those people.
It's not the scene. It's Dad talking about how much he likes the scene.
We just sat through Nora, for Christ's sake.
Yeah,
that was rough.
Yeah, I know, just because
Oliver, what's that like? You're sitting there.
It
watching
was uncomfortable.
Nora.
That was
because it didn't end.
It didn't end. It kept going, and the first 30 minutes is that.
Yeah,
that was the worst. Whoa. With Saltburn, though. That was the worst because the main character's name is Oliver.
Oh, dear.
And like, Oliver, stop doing that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
There are Saltburn Funko Pops.
Oh, I don't need that.
Who is that for?
I don't know. There's not even one with a bath.
That's his problem with it.
Yeah, it's not the right scenes.
All right, give us your number one.
Number one.
Do we have a winner?
We do not have a winner.
Damn it.
It has been said.
Yeah.
It was casually dropped.
What was it?
Night of the Hunter.
Oh, damn.
No
wow. So
nowhere.
You've got the con again next week with
O'Reilly Guerin sucks.
Oliver, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I always have a great time.
Strong showing. You got to talk to Jeremy about the floor.
I was interested. I love the floor.
I was too.
Yeah.
That was great.
I don't know if our listeners gave a shit, but you know what? I'm glad we got to get that info.
We've done more promo for that fucking show than they have.
We've done more than Fox has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet they don't reach out to have Rob Lowe on.
No. Yeah. But we haven't reached out either.
You could probably get Virginia on.
We could get to the bottom of this show business.
I think we got a better shot of getting Rob Lowe, to be honest with you.
Nah.
That woman can't find her way out of the old age home.
Come on.
She's there right now with soup dribbling down her chin.
Oh,
she has no idea. Yeah, she's old. I'm joking. She's not that old. They just made her old.
She's not old.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for supporting this program. Truly do appreciate it. Those that are listening to the live stream, have a terrific Thanksgiving. Those that are listening to it in real time, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and great Black Friday. I hope you found the sales you were looking for, the deals you were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wish you a lot of luck setting up the electronics that you bought on Black Friday. That's it. On behalf of the Pop Culture Reads, look over there. There's Garen Cockrell behind Video Village. That's Elliot Hochberg, the Honcho Matt Belknap, my son Oliver Pardo. I'm Jimmy Pardo. Jeremy on the phone. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone, Not Forgotten.